Morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Sorry about that.
That's fine.
I was walking Harley and I'm like, I got in and I'm like, fuck, it's already 8:30.
Yeah, it comes fast.
our walk that usually takes 30 minutes took 45. I don't know if we were both dragging ass or what.
Funny.
I
No,
know I
it
let
was
her. I know. I
fine.
know I let her stop and eat grass and stuff, but I didn't realize it was that long.
Does your dog throw up after eating grass?
Nah, not usually.
Ours does.
All our other dogs did.
Yeah, ours does on and off.
I think
Not all
that
the time.
I think they need to do that though. Like it's like part of their natural.
It must be.
Yeah, all dogs that I've had except well Harley will vomit sometimes, but not she eats a lot of grass in the summer.
Oh,
Especially like the grass that grows underneath the bird seed because it like forms like these corn husks and
Oh,
stuff.
sure. Yeah, it's all
And
different types of things.
she'll just like grab them and just eat them. And if she does it outside, which is good.
Yeah. And that's the
Usually
thing. I might not notice.
if they get that like weird look, you know what's gonna happen.
Very true.
Yeah.
Oh,
But
so
yeah,
how have you been?
I was amazed. I got out of bed late. Usually I get up like I don't know 5:30 or 5, and I've read comics, and I was like after 6.
You're sleeping in.
Yeah.
That's good.
Work is getting me exhausted. Like I'm getting too old for this shit, man.
We
My
just
body's
started going.
slowing down, my mind's slowing down, and it's like
I don't know if you
work
if you
isn't. Do you know what I mean?
yeah well I know like me and Stacy finally started to see a financial advisor guy at the
Yeah.
beginning of the year because I'm like we got to get things together and like she didn't she started her job at the university 7 years ago and she still doesn't like contribute towards a 401k or anything like that
Yeah.
like I've been in there since day one when I started working at my place but I mean, one positive thing is she'll get a pension when she's out,
Yeah.
and I can go on her I can go on her insurance anytime, and it and I
Well,
would
that's
continue on.
the ideal
Yeah.
is if you can use your pension and then wait on your 401k, do you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
that's
And
the best bet.
it's really good that like.
The thing that
It
you have
sounds
to
like you
worry
get
about
some of
is,
health care covered.
yeah, the thing you have to worry about is two kids the same age hitting the
Yep.
same call, the same college and stuff at the same time.
Well, in later in my life too. It's
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I've got all the people that are like the same age as me or even a couple years younger. Their oldest are like all like graduating from high school now.
True.
You know, so it's like I'm not going to experience that for, another 12 years. I'm going to be
Well,
60 years
if
old.
you raise them right, though, they'll take care of you when you're 70 some. So,
That's what I'm hoping.
you won't have to be like, I got no one and I got to figure out what to do.
Yeah. Hopefully, it works out in terms of that. But we just want to make sure we get things together because I hear you and Bill talk all the time, and I mean. At work, again, everyone's like in this, everyone has started around the time that I started. We got some new hires, but I'm talking like the people who came up the same time as me within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And so many of them are like, well, I can probably start getting ready to retire and stuff. I'm like, I can't retire yet. I've got 2 6-year-olds.
I still gotta start laying the cards on the table because I know healthcare is about 2 grand, and there's
Crazy.
like sometimes you if you like work for the city and you work for somebody not a contractor or something that you hit a certain age and they'll provide health care, like some kind of discount. But when you're
Yeah.
on your own, you gotta plan for the worst and hope for the best.
And it's so expensive.
That's how I live my life. Like even like with software and coding, it's like always have a plan for the worst case and hope for the best. And then
See, but that's good.
you're always have a plan to have a workaround. Do you know what I mean? Like, something is not going to be ready. You can still be ready just with this, you know?
No, see, that's smart. I always plan for the best. And that's
Well, sometimes you have to.
it.
Sometimes you don't have a choice, right?
I know, but I'm like, it's just like laziness out of on my part sometimes. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, it sounds like we'd be okay to retire when we're each 62, but that's like 15 years away for me.
Yeah, and if we're gracious enough to have Social Security at that, you still have that.
Yeah, and that's what he was saying too. He's like, there's no obviously. I mean, that's been hanging over our heads forever, like since I
Yeah.
remember, like being a
It is.
teenager, like
It just
going away.
it could get really ugly if a certain someone wins the office again,
I
because
wonder if he's talking though.
he has no consciousness of spending. Do you know what I mean? Like he doesn't understand a deficit. He's had three bankruptcies. He doesn't give a shit.
Doesn't make a
But
difference to him. It doesn't affect him.
yeah, but it's like we gotta pull ourselves out of this hole, or there's no money left to give to us. Do you know what? The money comes from somewhere, and he doesn't know it. Like he, when you have a spoiled, rotten brat that's been spoon-fed his entire life, he doesn't understand that.
No, and he doesn't.
And he doesn't
I
understand consequences. That's the problem I have. Like,
mean,
we've been through Republican presidents and Democrats and blah, blah, blah. I've never talked politics until we get an idiot. I mean, he's just dumb. And people love him. Like, I don't understand it. And they're the ones that are probably going to hurt the worst from him. Do you know what I mean? The
Yeah, I
people
don't.
that
I
are
wish I
voting
could.
for him are the ones that are, they're going to realize what he did after he left office and blame it on somebody else, but
I just don't understand, I guess, what exactly they like about him. Because, I mean, I don't see that he's doing something good for anyone, except for
I can't
himself.
remember the disorder that Barb said he has, but he's got a disorder where he can't admit he's wrong or ever he has
Well,
to
he's
twist it.
definitely
I mean,
narcissistic.
he spends 2 weeks talking about a hurricane hitting Alabama or whatever, and it's never going to hit there. You know, I mean, it's just,
I'm like, oh my God,
well,
give it a rest.
how
Who cares
important?
at this
Who
point?
cares? Yeah, who cares? And you're wrong anyway, so just, I don't know.
Know.
But
It's a
yeah,
shame.
I mean, I got the AARP thing going on, so I'm old.
I used to tease Stacy because, I mean, we moved in and she's 4 years younger than me. We couldn't have been in the house for more than a couple of years, and she started getting invitations to join it, and she wasn't even 30 years old. I'm like, what the
All of mine came roughly within the year of
Oh, okay.
knowing that I was on the cusp.
Do you get discounted movie tickets now?
There's very limited things. It's kind of like if you join AAA, you know, the car thing, you can get like hotel discounts and stuff like that. But it's not as until you hit like a certain age that you can just do it, you know, like it's just global. But if you have an AARP card at some restaurants, you could say, "Well, I have an AARP card," and they'll give you like 5% off or something like that.
Right. Does it cost something to get one?
Yeah. You have a
Okay.
yearly membership.
So it is like AAA.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Did you so yeah, you're 50 years old.
Yeah.
I'm a
It's.
young man, I'm only 47.
There you go.
I
You have all this energy.
have all this energy, yeah.
All your testosterone levels are at its peak.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
How've you been? You went to a Canadian convention, a big one.
The Toronto Fan Expo.
Yeah.
I believe, although I'm not 100% sure, I believe that that is the third largest Comic-Con in North America.
Yeah, I believe it is.
after New York and San Diego. It was crazy. It was insane. The kid we took the kids. The kids were absolutely wonderful. 6-year-old kids that really, after kind of getting used to the spectacle of things, really don't have a lot that they're interested in looking around at,
Yeah.
except for some like certain areas that, we would go to on
I
purpose.
would think the things that would excite them is like the cosplay
Yep.
and some of, you know,
They had
they're still too young for like panels or why is this artist here? I don't care.
right, they don't care about any of that. They don't even care about like celebrities, just in terms of like how they don't know who these people are.
Right.
So there was a Lego was there, like the actual Lego was there.
Yeah.
So Zach, we must have visited that area 7 times because he just wanted to keep looking around.
Right.
And then there
They
was
have
a
toys. They have stuff
there
they
was
might want to
yep.
buy. Yeah.
Yeah, and they definitely got we let them get some stuff because they were so, they're so good about everything, and they had a family fun area where like they could build Legos, they could draw or color, they could do different things. They had like a Harry Potter area and stuff in there and stuff, and so we made it a point to make sure we spent some time in
Yeah.
there, but
A lot of like the Denver Comic Con in the center, it's like kid driven. And it's like they have like, okay, we'll teach you how to draw, you know, like all these different classes and
Oh, that's cool.
storytelling. The best thing that they had, and I thought this was hilarious. I was even trying to watch it from afar, is they had William Shatner reading a kid's book to the children.
Really?
I was like, that guy's funny. I mean, he can read me a story any day of the week.
Right?
Yeah.
These kids have no appreciation of who that actually even
Yeah,
is either.
yeah.
No, but
There's
it was
nothing like having an actor like that read Green Eggs and Ham, you know? It's
exactly. We had a good I mean I had a good time. Stacy wanted John Travolta's autograph.
was too overwhelming.
She got it
Oh, really?
because yeah, because we had to prepay for him. But she waited 3 hours for that autograph.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Sometimes you're lucky, like sometimes you're around people that passes the time. And
Yeah.
sometimes you just because you have these like cool conversations and all this stuff and you learn stuff, but other times it's just you waiting, you know, you're waiting. Like even when I waited for Tulu Lutay, is like Bill only came by when it was all said and done. Like, okay, I'm ready to sign it, and then he's there.
Yeah, I mean, and the problem with her is that it was the last day. She kind of wanted to walk around a bit to check things out, for a last time before she had we were going to go for the day to go back home, and
Did she at
she
least get
just
a
waited.
picture with them?
N no, you would have to pay extra for that.
Damn, you should have done it.
Yeah,
No,
no.
no. Here is why it should have happened. Because you waited so. I mean, yes, you're spending a lot, but you have like evidence. You
Oh,
have
yeah.
photographic evidence that you did this.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna and you're gonna be like deterred from doing it again because you're like, oh my God, that took 3 hours of my time.
Oh, for sure. She
So
says she's never doing it again.
that's why you like when I got into Tulu Lutay's line, I knew like I went to go get a comic signed. That's it. But I knew I had waited forever that I was buying the art book. I said, if she's gonna draw a sketch in it, and she, you know, I'm gonna drop $30 right here. I waited an hour. I am not gonna just come home with the signature.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna get
No,
some
I mean,
art.
it was from what she was describing, because I took the kids and I started walking around. Because, I mean, the kids don't want to just stand in that line. So we left, we walked around, and so she was still waiting in line. She said that anyone pulled out a cell phone or whatever, there were all these like people that worked for the con, like practically diving in front to keep people from being able to get a
Yeah,
picture.
because you have to pay the $100 or whatever it is to do it.
Yeah, but you're right. They should have done something like that. It doesn't cost them anything extra to do that.
Yeah.
And people that paid for the picture had like actual set photo ops. Like it wasn't right at the table. Like
Yeah.
they left and went somewhere for the
Well,
pictures.
I mean, I don't, I imagine John Travolta's a huge draw, like a huge draw.
Yeah,
But
it was probably,
I
and he
know
was
for,
only there the one day, too.
I know for some of the medium people that they'll take the time to come back from their table, and if you pay the 60 or $100, they'll say, okay, they'll give their cam your camera off your phone to one of the assistants and say, okay, you could take a picture.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
would have been nice. Oh my God, can you hear the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong.
Let
She's just barking away.
me out. I want to eat some grass to vomit.
Probably. But in terms of comics, I think you saw finally filled a couple runs.
Yeah, you finished your cap.
I finished off Firestorm. I had finished off Dazzler just a few days before that, actually, before the con.
Yeah.
And then I got the last Captain America I needed. So now I have all the Captain Americas 100 and up. I don't have a lot of those Tales of Suspense. I don't have hardly any of them, but I got the actual Captain America proper.
Yeah, I wish I had stayed a little more focused and finished stuff, but I go down rabbit holes basically because of rap opportunity sometimes. Opportunity drives another rabbit hole.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody, actually one of the guys that works at the comic shop, that's probably it for me in terms of a full run of anything of length, like any of the stuff from the 60s,
Yeah.
because I just at this point I'm never going to be able to afford to get anything else
Yeah.
from number one on. Even like, I mean, I'm thinking of like Daredevil or even like the Avengers. I've got because I have Avengers 4, but I don't have
Yeah.
Avengers 1, and I don't know. I just don't. I'm not seeing that I'm ever going to complete any more runs. I think that's at X-Men and Captain America. I think that's pretty
Well, it's
much going to be it.
quite an achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just at this point, I don't know where my focus is going to be in terms of like
Yeah.
looking when I go looking for back issues. What am I going to look for?
I went for FF Volume 3 'cause I skipped it almost entirely. And
Which one was volume three, the
that was
one after
the
the?
Claremont run.
Oh, okay.
So it is a wordy bitch. I started reading it, but it's pretty good. The
That's after the like
Claremont
was
LaRocca,
Jim Lee or whoever
yeah, the
did,
Jim
yeah.
Lee thing.
Yeah.
So I'll have all the volumes of Fantastic Four except for Volume 1, and I'm close. Like, with the exception of 1 through 10, yeah, I'm really close on FF. And Avengers, I have all the volumes. I have one more in my comic shop order to finish, so I have all the volumes because I'm missing annuals and a couple of stray ones. But then it's just worrying about like the early issues. But I don't know if I'll ever fill those,
I know. I mean, so
because they're
expensive.
so expensive and I own them in multiple formats. Like I have an Epic collection that has all of that, and I have an omnibus that has all of that. And now that they're doing facsimile editions, I've been picking up the ones. I'm almost treating those as like opportunity to just drop in the box in that slot. So like if I could get an Amazing Fantasy number 15, that's going with my Spider-Man, you know, like bang, you know. That's I'm never gonna buy that. That's where that's going. I mean, there's some that I'm double dipping, like the Neil Adams Batman. I already have those. And the Swamp Thing, the first appearance of Swamp Thing, I already own that.
Oh, see, I
But
don't have
yeah, I don't
hit
have
those
to.
things.
But I did get a Thor. I'm getting really close on Thor as well. And I do have, like, I don't have a lot of the Journey of into Mystery, but I do have the first Loki. But
Oh, wow.
I will get, Because I've already bought like the expensive ones, like early Thor, because it takes off after Journey in the Mystery, filling that run is not going to be hard. So Thor and Cap are the ones that are going to be doable dues in the near
That's
future.
good. The other one that the only one that I'm thinking of for myself is Flash. And the only reason is because, of course, 105, although it's pricey, is by no means his first appearance. So I could get maybe a lower grade of that and be able to at least complete 105 all the way through.
Yeah, but
Because at
some of
this
those
point, I have
ones are
199 and up, but.
some of those are expensive though, because their first appearance of Captain Cold and Heat Wave and
They
Reverse
are. I
Flash
mean,
and
I'd have to get really, lower grade, much lower
but
grades.
even then they're still $100. They're a
Oh
couple
yeah, for
hundred
sure.
dollars for
But at
a
least I can.
GD, yeah.
It's possible to do it. You know what I mean? So
Yeah,
like, because I
nothing's
already have
impossible if
110,
you'll
I
get
have
a grade that.
123. The big ones are obviously like the first like three or four, like 105 to 108.
Yeah.
And then the first Reverse Flash is high up there too in terms of price. I mean,
Aaron
everything
had
else is
that.
still expensive, but it
Aaron
would
had.
be like, no, go ahead.
Aaron Myers had that on his wall there for a while.
Did he?
Yeah, the Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I would love to get that one at some point. I mean, this would then take me like years. This would be like one of those things where like I go to a con and I buy like just two comic books.
Yeah.
Like issues of Flash because they're both, $150 each or whatever, and then that's it. And
Yeah,
then,
I hate.
next year I buy another one or two and
And
it was good forever.
lately, I'm getting really tired of the CGC thing. Like, because you're paying such a premium, and then I'm just ripping it out anyway.
Yeah.
So it's I have to like really want something to get in that realm, and it has to be something that's reasonable. Where I find I really want it, and I think the cost is somewhat good.
Yeah, you know what it is that it's useful. I would say if you want to buy something that's like at 7.0 or more, and you want to make sure that it's really that grade, like if you're buying online,
Yeah.
and you want to make sure it's really that grade, then maybe it's worth it. But once you're buying like fine or below, I'm not sure what what you would get out of having a CGC copy of it because you can kind of visually see online, like, okay, yeah, this is a fine copy. This is a very
Yeah.
good copy. And you don't need it to be certified that it is. It's, I don't know. At least that's my thinking. Is if you're looking for more of a, to be guaranteed that you're not going to see some sort of flaw when it comes in the mail, then I could see that. But otherwise, no, you're probably right.
Right.
Like I actually just got, I completed that Flash, with 214, and I was having a lot of trouble finding it in just in general, with the combination of a decent price with whatever grade it happens to be. And I went online and I was looking on eBay and I saw somebody had it was a CGC copy, 8.5, and it was like, I want to, what was it, 60, it was $60.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God. That's cheaper than like a lot of the ungraded ones just that I've seen like that are 8 point like they all want like $100. So I'm like, all right, fine, I'm gonna get it. When I start going through
What
and I
issue
read
was
those, I'll
this?
pop that open. 214, it's a 100-page spectacular.
Oh, okay.
And for some reason it's going for more than like any of the ones around it.
Yeah, the real unusual one now is the Batwing number 19 or whatever the hell it is.
What is that all about? I saw that
Going for
online.
$80, man.
But
I'm like,
why?
what
What
the
is
hell?
it?
Lucius's fox son is rumored to be Batman. So I
Oh.
don't know in what form, but that's
Yeah.
what's.
That's
It's just
interesting.
pays to buy all the DC.
I guess so.
You never know what'll go up.
I know. I find myself at the age now that like things that I bought at the time I didn't think twice of, now all of a sudden they like come back
Yeah.
and suddenly something's worth money because of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm really getting old because these are considered older comic books. And like, as far as I'm concerned, they're brand new, but they're 25 years old.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting is they released the creative teams for the first batch of 100-page Giants.
Oh, did they?
And the thing that they're doing with a couple of them. Oh no, wait, these are new. Never mind. I think they are. I have to look it up. Yeah, I thought there would be old, but they're new material, like the Ghost one. It's reprinting a lot of the Curse Comics Cavalcade. I wanted the other one, you know, the Comics Cavalcade of
The canceled ones?
the canceled ones, yeah. Because
Oh, I didn't realize that. The cursed one is the one that just came out,
just
like
came
last year,
out,
right? Yeah.
yeah. So a
Oh,
lot of the
that's.
stories in there are coming off of those Halloween specials, which are kind is kind of a bummer. But
Yeah.
the cover looks freaking amazing.
When I saw they were doing the ghost one, and I know they're in the new one, there's a war one. I was kind of hoping it was going to be a selection of like stories from like all the books in the 70s and 80s, like whether it was Unexpected or House of Secrets
Or ghosts.
or Ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. Throw me a bone, give me an old one.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that one has me a little disappointed, I guess.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, I was hoping for at least one older story.
Yeah, me too. I was actually assuming that there were going to be. I forgot about
But
some of those Halloween
there is the
ones.
original content. There's going to be one written by John Layman, the guy who writes Chew and Batman. I mean, he wrote a lot of Batman. So that one should be good, like in terms of original content. And then there's a Child of the Night story written by Keith Giffen. So that one will probably be pretty cool. So you still get some original content.
Yeah, which is good. And
Yeah.
I think that when I saw them described, it was like most of them have 24 pages of original content, but I think like the ghost one and maybe one other had like 32 pages. So I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, that's cool.
I like that they're available for pre-order too, because I get a 50% discount. I don't have
Exactly.
to go to Walmart to get them
You don't have
and
to
go,
run around to
yeah, to
find
run
it.
around to find them. And I pre-order them, get half off of the $4.99 cost, so that's fantastic, because they're
Yeah.
great prices for a lot of material,
Yeah.
and they're so in the vein of the 70s Giants, which I like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I just placed my order for the new previews, and it was pretty, in terms of amount of money, it was pretty light again because there wasn't a lot of collections this time around that I'm picking up.
Yeah.
It was DC's definitely started releasing a lot more material as of a couple previews ago,
Yeah.
but I'm just not I there wasn't as many collected editions that I'm getting, so that's been saving me a little bit.
Yeah, this month here is sort of a dry month for collected editions, I would say.
Yeah. Remember that one a couple months ago? It was
Yeah,
like everything
it was
under the sun.
horrible. I mean, in terms of the wallet, it was horrible.
Yeah. I mean, Mike, I mean, I don't, you know that, you know, I'm not spending what you are, but it was like $250 more than what I normally spent just
Yeah.
because of all the collected editions.
I think this month I'm only considering one more, the Power Pack Omnibus, and I don't remember what was in this DC one. I mean, there's a lot of the first issues and stuff for sure.
Yes, tons.
Yeah. And
Yeah, they're really putting
they're
out a lot
doing
of
some
stuff.
interesting stuff, like this Genlock and they have the famous Green Arrow, Green Lantern facsimile edition, the drug issue, which I have. That's another ish thing I'm really close to finishing. Except for Green La I had an opportunity like 6 years ago to buy one and two, and I didn't do it, and I'm so stupid because then I would it would have just it would have been cakewalk the rest of it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I didn't think of Green Lantern, but that's another one that like you could probably try to pick up, and you wouldn't have to spend thousands and thousands because of, you know, its first
Yeah.
appearance isn't there.
And I just read, have you read Superman Year One yet?
I read issue one and two.
Yeah. Well, issue two features that Lori Lamoris, the mermaid, the half mermaid, and I loved it like so much. Like I just like I love the story, so I went and bought the first appearance.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I went on eBay and I was like, I gotta have this. I gotta have it. I've had a few comics with her in it, and I had a coverless comic that may have been her first appearance, but as a kid, and just seeing her in this new story, in this outrageous Poseidon story, I was my mind was blown.
Yeah, that was I liked the whole like him being in the Navy and stuff. That was
Oh,
interesting.
I actually love that part. That was like that was amazing because he was trying to hold back, but even trying to hold back, you know, his
I know.
power,
He
you
could
could
only
still
do so
see.
much.
And then he had that like sergeant guy or that officer that knew that he was
He knew
above and
something
beyond.
was
He
up.
and he's like he told him even that one time, he's like, those are mermaids out there. And it's like and he's like he's seen them and he's like, you better not tell anybody or I'll have you discharged. But you're seeing it, I'm seeing it, we know they're out there. And then he had like a jealousy about him, like, oh, he came he in the middle of the night, he's coming from the water and he knows exactly where he went.
Yeah, he's like that. He's a cocky son of a bitch. But jealousy, but like, not jealousy, but like envy. Like he
Yeah,
envy
it wasn't
that he's
like
still
I'm
that young and
jealous.
stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't like I'm jealous and I'm gonna hurt you. I mean,
No, because he
he
really liked her.
defended, he liked him and he defended him. That's the part I really didn't understand is the dishonorable discharge.
I didn't either.
Because he saved lives. Yes, I didn't get that. I just couldn't grasp it. For one thing, you're putting your soldiers that aren't even like out of camp, you know, out of training camp in a situation, a real life situation, kind of like Top Gun. It reminded me of, you know, when Tom Cruise and Goose were in training and they're like, we have a real life situation. You have to go out there. And it's like, that's what happened to Clark. He had to go out there.
I mean, I could see their point to some extent of not following orders, but
Yeah.
again, they're still in training, and that would be something like a, you know, like whatever, a demerit or something. I wouldn't think that they would kick them right out, right off the bat.
Right.
But you know, to tell the story and to move it along, I guess that's what, how they chose to.
And I
To
like the sick
extricate him.
twistedness of Poseidon, and I love the Krakens, man.
Yeah,
But
that was cool.
the thing is that I think me and Bomer, like Bomer is buying DC comics because JRJR is doing a lot of work. And we're both JRJR fans. So
Oh,
I
I'm not
think
a big
that
fan.
yeah, I think that is driving why we love it so much, you know, because you have him drawing these outlandish things underwater and it's like, God, that looks awesome. Whereas a lot of there, you know, there's a good portion of people that don't like his art.
Well, you know what? I don't like him. I really don't like his art, but it does work for me personally in certain instances. And this comic,
Yeah.
it that's when it's working for me.
Oh, I love I'm eating this up. Like this is so far the black label is just knocking it out of the park for me. So anytime I see that they have these extra large ones, I'm like I'm excited. And it's kind of the only thing I'm double dipping, like getting both covers on are the black label.
Oh, really?
Right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out of that altogether now.
Yeah. But
Although I
anyway,
am getting
that
the
I mean
different
the
covers of
retro,
Deceased.
yeah, those are nice. They're like three covers and one of them's a film, like a horror film
I
version
like
of it.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, a homage.
And then the other ones are just like a character that's like all zombied up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think those are cool.
Yeah, so the retro part of that is it drove me to go buy that. And then I've been looking like for I really love the Marvel 1000 just because it
I haven't read that one yet.
well the I'm not going to spoil it, but you probably already know they're short stories. They're like real short. But the thing is the thing I really appreciated is it sort of has a theme, but it like goes by year, and then it ha I mean some of the stuff they pick is just so obscure, and I like love it. Like that obscure stuff, like I just eat up. Like some people will say, well, big fucking deal that Terry the Typist appeared in 1949. Like who gives a shit? And I'm like, well, I do. I went to eBay to buy a copy of Terry the Typist. I was like, yeah, bring it. But I didn't expect it. I didn't expect much, and I got like when you went in with low expectations, I got like way more than I expected. I bought it for a couple of creators. Like, you got some George Perez art. You got I mostly bought it for the Brad Meltzer. Like I'm a huge Brad Meltzer fan, and he knocked it out of the park.
Well, that's good to know.
I think Nick is gonna love that one. 'Cause he's a Spider-Man fan.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yeah.
So,
Did
Mike, you know,
did you not get yours from DCBS yet? 'Cause
I did. Yeah, I just haven't gotten to read it yet.
I'm curious because I didn't get mine.
What, your th which one?
Marvel 1000, it didn't
Well, how
come
did you
out.
read it?
I read it. I bought one at the shop.
Oh,
I bought a
yeah,
different
I got
cover.
mine.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened if like my copy got damaged or what, but it's coming in the next shipment, but it should have been there the week of because I get it weekly.
Right, exactly.
So I wonder if yours made it because you're bi-weekly.
I don't know.
And
I don't know about.
maybe they had a week's worth of damages and they had to ship them back or get them shipped out and your 2 week differential was enough for you to get it.
Yeah, that could be. I noticed that the last shipment, I think, was missing like three or four, maybe not four, maybe two or three comics that I know had come out, but for whatever reason wasn't in the order. But then they're in the following one.
Yeah,
So
that
I
is
don't know if they had an issue
100%.
or what.
That usually is 100% on Diamond, because that usually means one or two things. Just from my history with comics, and my comic shop, it usually means that they got the box, and the comics are just damaged. They can't sell them in that condition. They're like they have corners, torn or. They have some major defect that will take it out of the very fine range or something, like where you see noticeable. What Diamond's policy is if you put it at arm's length and you can see the defect, it's a defect.
I didn't know
You
that.
have to stretch out your arm, look at the comic book, and if you see the defect, it's the defect. And I didn't get breakfast, Barb. Sorry. Matter of fact, I just got back just in time to record. But that's their policy. Stretch it out if you can physically see it. And that they probably either got like defective boxes or they missed the boxes. Yeah. Because that happens too. Like, I'll go to the shop for my DC and they'll say, oh, it's damaged, or oh, we didn't get, we're missing two boxes out of the whole shipment. They're lost. So we're getting them shipped next week.
It's crazy.
So it's like the who mostly notices that are people that are getting their books every week. You
Yeah.
know, you're like, ah, that should be there.
Yeah, you know, that happened to me at my comic shop. Whatever that issue was of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, where that, do you read that or no?
Yeah, where the new turtle comes, the
Yeah, the one, yeah,
female.
the, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was that issue. I saw that it was coming out according to previews and Diamond and stuff, that it was out that week. I went and they said, no, it didn't come out this week. I'm like, what? Like, it
Yeah.
says right here. I mean, they didn't say they
Yeah.
were short. They just said it didn't come out.
And you're
So
like, well, I know
literally
better
3 weeks
than
later, I was about to ask, right? It was like a full 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, at this point, I'm going to have to just try to find one because I know it was going for more. And so I just go to the comic book store and they give me just, you know, I get a few things from them as opposed to DCBS. So I got, they handed me my stack of comics and it's there. So I have no idea what happened in that case,
That was
but
at your store?
at my store. But
Okay.
they insisted that it had not come out. Not that they were short. And
Yeah.
like I talk to the guys all the time, so they were short. They tell me that it's just they were
They,
short.
in other words, they weren't like forcing to lie to you. They just,
No.
they truly believed it wasn't out.
Yeah, and then 3 weeks
Yeah.
later, it just shows up in my staff. So I mean, I was perfectly happy to get it, but it was so weird because I was starting to think I was going to have to go on eBay or something because it was a hot book
Yeah.
that I was never going to be able to find it. So yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. It sounds like that was a legitimate, though, like, not a lie. That was like, hey, you know,
No,
we really don't
it's
think it came out.
yeah, something happened.
And you have to show it to him. What's this? Why
I
is this on eBay? Why can I buy this right now for $100?
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, everything's been good. We've been just, you know, the kids are back at school. They're
Yeah.
in first grade. And other than that, everything's been quiet. How about you?
Good. I went to the flea market yesterday, bought a lot of Archie
Oh,
in the
yeah.
dollar box. I was happy to see them. I was going through this box and I'm like, oh man, they're not gonna have anything I want. And I saw this a bunch of Archies. Well, actually it was just like a handful, and I'm like, I'm gonna buy these. And then they had a lot of Eclipse, but I didn't know like which ones I was missing, so I was like, I ain't gonna try to get dupes. I'm not sure what's wrong. I'll go rescue it. Yeah. There's a bird in the yard, a baby. She's got to go save it, put it on the
Oh.
fence or something.
So how much was he asking for the comics?
A
Like how
dollar
much?
each. There was a
Dollars.
dollar, yeah.
Gotcha.
So I got a lot of like, I got a big run of like Betty and some of like Archie's joke book, a couple of Archie, a couple of Jughead. So yeah, it was pretty cool. I got a
Yeah.
Mrs. Tree. I mean, I got some Eclipse stuff I never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
One of them I'm really curious about because it's called Ragamuffins, and it looks like a Western, but it's written by Don McGregor and Gene Colan, and like I'm a big fan of both of them. Like Don McGregor, I love his Zorro stuff, and he did like some Black Panther when it was Jungle Action.
Oh, okay.
And Gene Colan, obviously, you know,
Yeah.
Daredevil and Tomb of Dracula. So, like, yeah, this is like, wow, what is this? This is cool.
That's cool. You know, I love going to, we used to have a couple flea markets and we only have one left. The rest of them shut down. And like, you know, somebody bought the land and they made it like a Walmart or something like that.
Yeah.
But I like going, but I find it so hit or miss where there might be comics that I'd be interested in, but they just want, it's like somebody there that thinks that heard that comic books are valuable and just are asking for ridiculous prices for the condition that the comic books are in. And
Yeah,
I'm like, oh God.
that was the case of one. So the guy that works at the comic store, he has his own booth at the flea market. He doesn't own the store. He just works at the comic store. He's got a really nice flea market booth where it's like indoors, and he rents like one of those. It looks like a storage unit where you just roll the security door down kind of thing. And he's got a really nice shop, and he's pretty much tags his books at like whatever Overstreet is, but he had a 50% off. So I was like, that's pretty good. And I found some Chamber of Chills that I bought from him. So like with that 50% off, it was a good deal. You know
Oh,
what I
that's
mean?
good.
Yeah. That was your stereotypical one where you're saying, yeah, I can't find what I'm looking for 'cause the prices are too outrageous. But I was looking for dollar boxes, and I did find this one guy, and yeah, there was a lot of DC in there, but it just I have everything DC, so it's
I
like
know.
it was all DC Eclipse and Archie, and I almost like cleaned him out on the Archie.
Nice. And that's the thing, right? Is like as the older we get, the harder it is to find like those like dollar comics that you still want or still need,
Yeah.
because I mean the comics that you need, at least for me, are like typically getting like older and older, and it's tougher and tougher to find them in dollar bins,
Yeah.
because everything that's in a dollar bin now are things that are like, not everything, but you know what I mean, like 20 years old, and it's like I probably already have it.
Yeah, there was a couple of boxes I wanted to look at. They looked beat up, but you never know what you can find in there. And I just felt like I had already dropped a lot of money, and it was weird. Like I'm there shopping, and then Barb's standing over me looking through long boxes. So it's like,
I know.
yeah. So I was like, I don't want to spend days looking through. So I would like fast skim them, with the exception of that Archie box, like where I did real detailed look through it. I was like, just what time period is this box in? You know what I mean? Like I was, is this 60s and 70s, like stuff I'm missing, or is it like all 90s? And I was also looking like, oh, is it 90s independent versus 90? If it's 90s Marvel and DC, I pretty much have it. I mean, there's some obscure stuff. Like, I don't own Speedball. I just placed an order to get the full run of that. I
Oh,
had his
nice.
first appearance, 'cause I'm getting into this Ditko mode now. Like, I don't know why, but I'm getting into that.
Are
Yeah.
you?
And he did Speedball, so
I
I
don't think
think
I own any Speedball either.
I read the Marvel 1000, and there's a Speedball in there, and I'm like, that I like. I'm gonna go get some speed. I knew him from what is the New Warriors?
Yeah, the New
Because I
Warriors.
collected New Warriors, and
Yeah, I have a few.
I had his first appearance in Amazing Spider-Man Annual 16 or whatever the hell it is, but I never had a series, and I didn't have Sleepwalker either, so I'm looking to fill that in. I'm buying a lot of Marvel, like. I never thought I'd be buying as much Marvel as I've been buying.
Yeah, you
'Cause
have
usually I'm
been.
in the DC mode, but
Is it because you missed more back then in Marvel and you have so
yes,
much DC?
if I was ever cutting, DC would never get cut. It was always Marvel. So now I'm going back and like, oh, I don't fill this hole. Plus, you know how I go down the like reading mood ro stuff? I'm in Marvel mode right now.
Yeah, you've been for
Yeah,
a
so
little
it's
bit.
like I've been reading like X-Men as it comes out. I've been reading the Carnage as it comes out. I've been reading a lot of the one shots, they're really well done.
Oh,
You
really?
kind you kind of like say, "Oh, this is just a one shot. I don't care." But the thing is CB Sabalski is like, "Oh, I'm gonna do a Cap one, and I'm gonna get Roy Thomas to write the story, or I'm gonna do a Power Pack, and Louise Simonson is gonna write it." You know, he's getting the original creators to write it.
That's pretty cool.
And like the Carnage one, Sim was my favorite. Symbiote Spider-Man, you got to read this. It's so good. It's the Peter David writes it, and it's just a one shot, and it is so good. I mean, it's like awesome. Do you know the premise of it? Are you reading it?
Not at all.
The
No, I don't know anything about it.
premise of Symbiote Spider-Man is it takes place when in the past. When Spider-Man was the had the suit.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well,
The black suit.
yes, so it is kind of retro because you got to go back in time and think, oh, this is what's happening. That series just ended, but they had the new one come out, and it takes place with this one guy that's outside of the Baxter Building, and he's like, "Guy, but I shouldn't be out of here at night because New York gets dangerous at night." And it's right when the symbiote leaves the Baxter Building, because remember Spider-Man, and they used that sound weapon to take it off, and it was stored in the Baxter Building,
Yeah, in
and
that
it
glass
takes
tube.
off and it escapes, and he's the first person that gets it. So it's like, and then cut to the future, and then it cuts to the future like, okay, this is what's happening with Absolute Carnage now. And it is, oh God, it was so good.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I
Yeah,
like
no, I
that.
haven't
I
been
like
picking them up.
it wrote White Rabbit really well. You know that villain, a Spider-Man villain, that's like in that wears the rabbit ears, the female?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Oh God, it wrote her so good in this. It
Well,
was so good. Like I was like just spot on. I just dug it.
that's pretty cool. Yeah, I haven't been, I kind of fell away from most of the Spider-Man stuff, so
Yeah.
I've been kind of, I don't know. My plan was to try to pull back a little bit
But the
and
thing is, you
just save some
can.
money
If
and
you have, do you still have Marvel Unlimited?
I do.
See,
I don't use it nearly as much as I do the DC one, but
that's when you should read this stuff. Like
yeah.
let's say you sat out Absolute Carnage. Well, you could sit and read it in 6 months.
I know. I just need to remind. I need to like write something down or whatever to remind
Yeah.
myself. Okay, I can start reading this now, because like I just totally forget. Like, what was the Avengers? Prior to the relaunch, the Avengers had that event where the Hulk came back and stuff.
Oh, no surrender.
Yeah, and I plan to read all that on
Oh
the
my
app,
God,
and I just never have, and I know it's sitting there.
you need to read that. Like that is really worthwhile.
I had every intention, and then
I
I
bought
just
the
forget
hardcover. I
about
don't
it.
usually buy like current hardcovers, like unless it's exceptional. Like I bought the Immortal Hulk hardcover and I bought Avengers No Surrender because it's so good. Like
It
it
was
just,
really the gun.
yeah,
Okay.
it's really good. Real, yeah, you got a car, which you should do because you're paying for it, is you should, as you're going through the previews, I mean, just make a spreadsheet and say, "I'm interested in this." And then
Yes.
as soon as the time comes, then yeah, you're not going to have unlimited time. I mean, you're busy. You have two kids saying, "Daddy, let's go do this." But right before bed, and if you have time or at work at lunch, you could say, "I'm going to read Marvel Unlimited."
That's a really good idea. I think I'll pick that up. I was trying to think of what I could read, because I've been reading, excuse me, been reading Elementals,
Yeah.
and I realized that I was missing some, because how the second volume just ends. I didn't realize they had some mini series that kind of went along,
Yeah.
and I didn't have those mini series, so I bought them online, but they haven't come yet. So I figure while I'm waiting, I got to find something else to kind of, it's an older thing to go back to read. So actually, maybe that's what I'll do, is I'll read No Surrender, because I can read those you know, I mean, it's those modern comic books are pretty fast to read. So I can definitely do that while I wait for the rest of the Elemental stuff to come in, and I can finish off all the Elementals after that. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that.
Cool. You want to kick us off then?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, we were just talking
Elementals.
About it, so, you know, I'm not gonna cover one by one, but I'm gonna cover towards the tail end of volume two of the Elementals, which was back in 1992 through 93, and this is issues 22 through 26 of volume two. So what had happened previously? There was a lot going on.
Can you do a couple of things before you start? I've never read this before. So what is the appeal of the Elementals? I know it's Willingham.
Yep.
And so he does the art too on some of them, right?
In the first volume, he did a lot of the art, and then towards the end, he stopped. First volume ran to issue 29. He did the art. It looks like on and off, pretty much until issue 22 of that series. And then I'm not sure what was behind it ending and then coming back as a second volume. Because, of course, back then things didn't just get rebooted over and over again just for the sake of a new number one, because this was back in the 80s. Thank you.
You can't really attribute it to Kimiko going out of business because it's the same company.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. They didn't have any problems, at least that I know of, up to that point. But regardless, it started again in 89 with a new number one. So my appeal, I don't know. If you've never read it, it's just very – I don't even know how to describe it. So basically you have four characters that die and somehow are reborn with that they didn't know each other ahead of time, but they're reborn with a different elemental power. So there's Vortex that has air powers. There's Monolith, who has earth earth-based powers.
Yeah, he's the big dirt one that I can see. Yeah.
Yep, he's the big dirt guy. There's Morningstar, who has fire powers. The Vortex and Monolith are males, and the other two are women. So there's Morningstar, and then there's Fathom, who is has water-based power. Yeah. So I just found it. I don't know. The writing just hooked me right away. It's very interesting in terms of how he writes these characters. In their alternate, basically they're stuck in whatever state that they were when they died, and whatever age they were in that they died, they continue on in that age. Now Monolith is really like I think he's like a 14 or 13 year old boy. You know, as this moves along, he's feeling older and more mature, but he's still always going to be a 14 year old boy when he's not Monolith. And it's just I don't know what to say. You just have to maybe read the first few, like the first four issues of the first volume, and see what you think. I just found the writing to be really interesting. It's a little more, especially for at the time, more edgy, more adult writing. There's, you know, just cursing throughout. There's there can be adult situations and stuff like that are addressed. In the second volume, Morningstar finds out that she's pregnant, and she had some trouble with a villain named Shapeshifter, who ended up introducing herself. They were already villains or already enemies. And Shapeshifter had taken the shape of just a handsome guy, and they started dating for 2 years. And turns out Morningstar gets pregnant. And even before she found out she was pregnant, finally Shapeshifter reveals herself to be this guy and like almost causes Morningstar to like just totally lose it and almost kill herself. So really like serious in terms
darker
of like
themes, yeah.
Darker themes. So when she finds out that she's pregnant and it's not with who then she ended up marrying later on, but with her enemy's child, she goes and she gets an abortion right away. I mean, it's like very like matter of fact and like real world type. And like you said, darker themes. I really enjoy it for all of that.
They have these weird elemental sex specials too.
Yeah. And I've never read any of them.
I have one of them.
I don't own any of them. I don't know exactly,
but it's
how
a lot
explicit
of
those are.
Some of them are written by this guy called Eric Deinhardt.
Uh-huh.
They're
I
not
see
Willingham.
That, yeah. I don't know who that is, but I can tell you like in terms of the time frames, Willingham ended up, I'm not sure what happened, but he ended up by volume two, after I think issue 22, he was no longer writing the book anymore. From
I
what
if
I
he still owns them or something.
I read that he sold it to
the Liefeld
Kimiko,
guy.
I say Comico, but he sold it back years, you know, back in the 90s.
Yeah, to the guy that had Youngblood, right?
Oh, is that who it is?
I heard that.
Okay, then that
somewhere.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Liefeld lost his Youngblood.
I never even knew
about it, and he publicly went out and said it recently.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, and then his a guy that had been co-writing with him for quite some time, even during the first volume, Jack Herman, he took over for the writing duties for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
It's
got a lot of issues, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Between the two volumes, you're talking like 55
and a lot
issues.
Of one-shots.
Yeah, and then it did have a third volume that I haven't gotten to yet, but that only went 3 issues. So, and that's right around when the company just imploded.
Yeah.
I actually read that last sex special came out in 1997. That was like the very last comic book that they put out.
That's the one before. I own.
Oh, really? Oh, that's, I wonder
I,
if it's,
I
it's
own
got
number
be,
one. Yeah.
Because yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's it. There couldn't have been, I bet you it was really spotty as to whether or not you could actually pick it up at that point. Is that comic, that,
it's black and white and color too. Like some of it's black and white. So I don't know if they did that for a cost cutting measure.
Yeah, it would be. Even during this volume two, it went here. I found it. So issue 15 in volume two came out in July of 1990. That was after the issue before came out for 3 months prior. And then after issue 15 came out in July 1990, issue 16 did not come out until May 1991. So they totally had to restructure the company from the ground up. Something like they had a bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And it, right between 15 and 16 there. And then they continued to publish. Maybe not every month, but every other month. Until finally it just... like towards the end, it got spotty again. It was like there was an August issue, then there was a November issue, then there wasn't another issue until April of the following year. So, and then that was it. So
you have some early Tony Daniel work too. So that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he launched Batman New 52, right?
Yep.
So, and he did detective art and writing. So, like. The other one you have is you have some early Adam Hughes too.
Yeah, it's weird to see some of these people like back then, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, basically, we talked a lot about them in general, but like towards the end, they started getting into something called the Oblivion War, which I think started much earlier in the. It was. Issue number 10. So it was 4 issues that kept saying Oblivion War, and then they kind of did some sidetrack stuff, and like they had an they had an issue where they went to Iraq and they were fighting Saddam Hussein. They had a solo issue with their government liaison was featured in the issue, and nothing was going on with this Oblivion War, and nothing was resolved. And even people in the letters column were saying, "What is going? This is like the longest running thing ever." And so they said, "Yeah, let's get back to this." So around issue 18 or 19, they started getting back into this Oblivion War. Basically, what that is it's an alien planet that can move around. It moved back behind the moon, and it started launching small spheres into the Earth's atmosphere. And when it would pop open, aliens were able to, these weird large aliens were able to, materialize. So they were taking over the world, but they were also, for some reason, targeting anyone with superpowers. And maybe we still haven't learned exactly what it is about them, other than perhaps they know that that's really the only way that they can be stopped, because the actual armed forces aren't having any success against these aliens. So Tommy Monolith decides that the best thing to do is to gather up every person with superpowers on the whole planet and put them together as a huge coalition to go up against and defeat these aliens. So now Thor is part of this mythology too, because you can't, Marvel has the character Thor, but you can't own the name Thor because it's a Norse, Norse mythology. So they made up their own Thor. And so apparently there was Ragnarok and all the gods kind of left, but Thor is still around. So Thor was fighting these aliens too. So he teamed forces with the elementals, brought them back to Asgard, and Monolith went up this huge staircase to Odin's throne. And when he sits on the throne, he can see in anywhere that he wants. So from that point, he identified every single person with superpowers on Earth, managed to gather them up with, because Thor can control the Rainbow Bridge, can go anywhere on Earth at any instant. Gathered up all the superheroes, supervillains, even people that they had put in jail earlier in the series, and put them all together as a big group. And
this is volume 2, right?
This is all in volume 2, and it's really, now this is happening towards the last few issues. Starts at 18, 19. And by issue 22, they're actually out in Asgard, and they encounter some dark elves, I believe, or maybe they were dark trolls. But Tommy's in his human form, and he ends up getting shot several times with poisoned arrows to the point where he's about to die. So he transforms into Monolith and defeats them. But he, at that point, his human body is dead, so he can't ever transform back. So what he ends up doing is, he goes back up to Odin's throne again, because he wants to kind of check to see what's going on this alien planet, because he didn't the first time. And when he's about to do that, he kind of encounters Lord Oblivion, who's the leader there, and almost totally disintegrates, almost like his psychic projection. On the cusp of death, he encounters their old original supervillain, arch nemesis named Sacker. It's Sacker. And he wants the aliens destroyed too. So he kind of teaches Tommy how to create his own body back. But in order to do so, that means he's got to get rid of Monolith. So he manages to just get a body back, and with it, a lot of magical type abilities. But the Monolith essence ends up going into a person on Earth that actually has just fallen to his death. So he gets resurrected, and he's going to be the new Monolith. So that's kind of explored throughout the last few issues. And then some very, very big battles start to commence, where you're seeing a lot of casualties on the hero side, just with a lot of the side characters that the elementals had encountered up to this point, whether it was some earlier foes or even some more recent allies. And then by the time it gets to issue 26, if I don't know if you have it up, but if you look at the cover to issue 26, that looks like it could just be like a stereotypical Image comic book cover.
Yeah.
This is very different. But you figure when it's 1993, you know, that's what people are kind of doing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so the story continues, but nothing, you know, like it's not ending. And sure enough, right at the end of 26, like at the beginning, there was like the first on the inside cover, there's always like a little introduction or like an essay by the editor, and they're just talking about all their plans and like what they're going to do up through issue 30 and stuff, and how the war is going to end by issue 30, and that there's going to be a side miniseries for Oblivion War that's going to be two issues long, and that Bill Willingham is coming back. He's going to write a Ratman 4-issue series, which Ratman's one of the villains that turned good earlier in the Elementals. And talking about all this stuff, you go to Leather's column, it says what's going to happen in the next issue. And of course, that's it. There's no more Elementals issues. So it kind of just ends. Now, I do have Oblivion War ends up being 3 issues long. I have placed an order for that, so I'm going to be reading that next when it comes. And I'll be interested to see if this kind of is able to wrap it up, or if it's still kind of like just throws it, you know, like it never ends up ending or what. I don't know. But I mean, it looks like the Oblivion comics came out in 95 and 96. So that was definitely towards the tail end. And I don't know if it was only supposed to be 3 issues or if it was supposed to be more. And it just ended up, the Ratman miniseries never came out. They had another team called Strike Force America that was going to be an ongoing series, but instead they had a one-shot. Well, it was the first issue, and only the first issue came out. And then a couple of years later, they relaunched it again, but again, only 1 issue came out. So it was, it's just fascinating kind of see, like, the end of this, like, as it just kind of...
Sounds a lot like Hero Alliance.
Does it? I'm not as familiar with them at all.
Well, that's... It sounds like Hero Alliance was inspired a lot by Elementals, but that was from Innovation. I did read all that and buy all of that.
Okay.
This sounds interesting.
I really, really... I mean, if I had to choose one or the other, Mike, I like the first volume much more.
Yeah.
But the second volume still is very well done. And it's funny to read back to back because you don't, I didn't even realize until I'm looking up in the database, like people were literally waiting apart from that full year practically where they had that bankruptcy issue. They could be waiting anywhere between 3 or 6 months for issues. And that's how I didn't realize it was coming out that infrequently. But reading these all back to back, I mean, you don't get a sense of that at all.
Is this your first read, or is this?
Yeah. I read volume one maybe a couple years ago, and so when I realized there was a volume two, I started looking for those in back issue bins because, for the most part, I could find these in that one comic store's 50-cent bins that me and Chris talk about sometimes, but. Inevitably, there were some holes, so then I had to find them, you know, like on mycomicshop.com, or I found them just in passing, and until there was only like one or two left, and I finally tracked them down. And once I had the whole run, I was only missing like issue 23. So when I finally got issue 23, I said, okay, let's pull these back out. I wanted to read all the rest of them. So yeah, it's my first time.
Cool.
Yep.
Nick asked a question. I guess it's more pertinent to you because you just finished talking about the Elementals. He said, I know Rob just wrapped up Elementals. What's your next long retro read?
My next long retro read. Okay. So you convinced me to read No Surrender, but that's not a retro read. And that won't be really long.
That's not that long.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably like 12, 14 issues or something.
Yeah, I think it's 12.
Okay. So I think after, when I'm totally done with
And it's a
Elemental.
different time too. So like an Elemental comic will probably take you longer to read than a Avengers comic in modern.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I've been playing with the idea. I haven't settled on anything yet, 100%, but I've been playing with the idea of reading All-Star Squadron from number one up. Because that was one that I had been missing a lot of issues
That's a good one.
years ago. But yeah, I mean, that's another one where I basically filled my whole, like, all of the holes that I had at the in the 50
Very,
cent.
very, very dense reads though. Roy Thomas
Oh,
and
yeah.
there's a lot of material, so you gotta be ready to
Yeah.
ingest a lot of material.
It, definitely so.
Once you
And
get it sucked in, it's like once you get into it, you're gonna be like, wow, this is fantastic.
well, last year or the year before, I read all of Infinity Inc. Like, I had read everything that I had owned previously, I'd read before, but then I filled all the holes and read them one through. And I think he either wrote all or most of Infinity Inc. as well. And yeah, it takes a long time to read an issue. But I always liked the All-Star Squadron, and I had a lot of issues, but I had a lot of holes too. So now I have a complete run. So that's like 57, 59 issues, something like that. So that I'm leaning towards that right now, but I haven't 100% decided. I know at some point I'm going to go ahead and get on top of Captain America.
Yeah.
I've read 200 and up, but I've never read the 100. Well, I've read single issues, but I've never read the whole run back to back from 100 to 200. So at some point soon, I'll be doing that as well. But right now, I think we'll say it probably be All-Star Squadron.
Cool. For me, I can't, I can never do these long-term things. I'm too short-term. And I'm a mood reader, so it could vector myself.
I'm a crazy obsessive compulsive when it comes to that. Once I start it, I am going to finish it
Yeah.
until it's done.
What are some of your recent omnibus purchases?
For me, I recently picked up the JSA 1 through 3 omnibuses.
Oh yeah, I have those.
Because I never got them, and I'm like, that's one of my favorite. I mean, I love the writer.
They're
I love the
big. They're
team.
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite comics of all time. Like, why don't I have the omnibus? Yeah, I can read the single issues, but I have so many other omnibi.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I got a couple of them. Like, I got one for Christmas, got one for my birthday. Then, like, with just extra money, I went ahead and bought the volume 3. So now I have all three waiting for me. It'll be a while probably before I get to them, but those are my most recent purchases. What about you?
My most recent one is the Joker Bronze Age Omnibus. I think that's the biggest honkin' one that I have here. That one's unique too, because it's got unpublished Joker material from the collapse or whatever you want to call it, the implosion. So, and colorized too, which is cool.
Oh,
And
that is cool.
a couple of volumes did that, like Black Lightning was around during the implosion, so if you buy the trade, you'll get the unpublished Black Lightning story. If you bought Fury of Firestorm, Fury of Firestorm Volume 1 happened during the implosion, which was the 5 issues, and then it had one extra, and that issue's in the collected edition as well. And then this Joker one was unpublished, and now it's in this omnibus.
You just reminded me, if I don't read All-Star Squadron, it might be Fury of Firestorm.
Ah, there you go. That one's
Yeah,
good.
that's
That
100
is
issues plus annuals.
so Marvel-esque.
I loved it at the time.
Yeah.
Again, this was one that I read and I loved, but it was at first it was just getting things at a grocery store or a convenience store and hit or miss when the issues came out. And then later I'd pick some up and then I'd forget about it or whatever. So that was one that I finally filled the run here in the at the Toronto Comic Con. So that'd be a long one. That's 100 issues plus annuals. I might, if I do that, I'll probably break it up. I'll probably read like 50 issues, move on
Yeah.
to something else for a little bit, and then read the back 50.
That's a good one,
Yeah.
to choose. Especially if you're a Spider-Man fan, that's like Jerry Conway bringing the Marvel to DC, the type
Yeah.
of storytelling.
I loved it too. It's been so long since I've read any of them. I read them as a kid, and I just remember those earlier issues, like just before, I don't know, the issues in the teens and the 20s and stuff. And
Yeah.
it's just, oh God, I just remember being a kid and reading those, and it was something brand new to me at the time because it was just a character, like, oh my God, who's this character? I never saw this before.
One of the best
So cool.
looking costumes in comics too, I
Oh,
think.
it's just fantastic. I it was just such a new experience for me as a
Yeah.
kid seeing that and seeing like when that issue in, I don't know if you have that issue of Justice League of America where like they're inviting him to join the Justice League. He's on
Yeah,
the cover.
yeah.
Yeah, so it's like those are some of my first experiences with Firestorm, and I
And
just have fond
he
memories.
had a backup in Flash too.
Yeah, I
Back in
don't
the
think I
day.
had any of those at the time.
Yep. So yeah, I've always liked him. Plus he appeared in the Super Friends or the one after Challenge of the Super Friends. Him and Cyborg were kind of like the buddy team. Yeah. I've always liked him. I have his superpowers action figure. I have a statue of him. I have a custom-made Mego doll of
Oh,
him.
really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's really cool. Well, I read some of my garage or flea market picks.
you did? Okay. Yeah, good.
I recently read Weird, was it called Weird Mysteries, which is the first appearance of Dr. Druid. Because he was originally called Dr. Droom in Astonishing Tales. Stan Lee forgot about him because he was pre-Doctor Strange. So he created Doctor Strange. And then later on in the 70s, when they were doing reprint issues, they took the reprint and made it a Weird Mystery. And they called him, it's a reprint, but instead of saying Dr. Droom, they use Dr. Druid. So it's really a reprint that's the first appearance of Dr. Druid, which is the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
But because of that book, I've been like, oh man, I like these reprints because they're telling stories of things that I would have never gotten the original issue of. And I thought this was a reprint issue, so I got Chamber of Chills number one, and it wasn't a reprint. It was all original material up until issue five.
Oh, wow.
So this one was written by, there's a lot of names in here that I don't know. But it's George Alec Effinger and Craig Russell and Dan Atkins. I think I've heard of Dan Atkins. But this one's sort of just a werewolf story, a stereotypical werewolf story about a group of two boys and two girls. Well, I guess two women and two men. They're sort of like right past teenage years. They're hiking in these mountains. And they run into an old witch, and she's like, "Oh, there's evil in them mountains, and there's a full moon happening, and you better be wary of this." And that she warns them. And this guy's looking for fire. They kind of blow her off, just like in your stereotypical horror movie. Like, what is this crazy person warning me about Camp Crystal Lake? You know, like, there's nothing gonna happen.
Did you say this was called Weird Mysteries or Weird Mystery?
This one is Chamber of Chills,
Oh, I'm sorry.
but the
Okay.
Dr. Druid one is where
Weird Mysteries.
weird miss weird. I don't even know which one it is now. It's not either of that.
Oh, that's okay. I got the chamber. It shows up now. I'm just looking.
Now it's bothering me, though. What did I say it was? Weird Mystery Tales? No. It's something weird. It's something I've never heard of. Hmm. And I was listening to a podcast, and it came up that it was the first appearance of Dr. Druid, and I read it. And that got me into, like, the reprint issues. Uh-huh. And that's why I bought this Chamber of Chills.
Gotcha.
So this Chamber of Chills was not reprint, though.
Right.
It was new material. So this guy is... This one blonde guy, he sort of hears this guy, help me, help me. And it looks like he's getting eaten by a bunch of wolves. So he gets a piece of fire, you know, a log that he's collecting firewood. And he goes out there and he uses the wood to, like, knock these wolves and chase them away so he can rescue this shirtless guy and bring him back to camp. And they bring him back to camp, and then the full moon rises, and this guy turns into a werewolf, and he sort of slaughters them all. Oops, they didn't listen to the woman. And it kind of sets up the exact same scenario for another couple in a Winnebago. He sort of happens where he turns back into a man. Like, he's with the pack of wolves as a wolf. And then he turns back into a man. The wolves start chasing him. And then he's like, help me. So that's the situation he gets into every time, is the wolves chase him when he turns back to a man. And then there's this couple that always says, oh, we got to help this guy. And they let him in. And then, you know, sunset falls and he slaughters them all. repeat over and over again.
Right.
That was the first story. The second story... was a Stan Lee story with Russ Heathart. So those are big names. And this is sort of like a prison. They don't necessarily call it Alcatraz, but it's a prison that's on an island, and it's run by this warden. And this guy's an asshole warden, man. He catches, like, a guy smoking cigarettes, and he ends up taking a cigarette and burning him and then whips him, you know. And then the next guy, he's like, hey, aren't we going to murder somebody in the gas chamber? I got to go witness this. So he goes to witness this guy's fear right before he goes in the gas chamber. And then he gets gassed and he's like, yeah, I like this, you know, killing people left and right.
Yeah.
And then he has a cook, which I would never, if I was a warden, I would never have a criminal cook for me. Like, it's not,
oh,
a prisoner,
God,
cook,
no,
for me. That would be the dumbest thing ever. But this is what this guy does, right? He has a guy cook for him. And I guess this soup tastes like shit. So he, like, he says, oh, man, this tastes like dishwater. And then he actually gets a pot full of dishwasher and throws it down, like, a dish after all the dishes were washed, and that makes him drink the whole thing. And then he puts him in, like, solitary confinement and then whips him. And then all of a sudden, he's standing there and there's, like, no guards. And he's like, what the hell's going on here? And all the prisoners around him, and he's like, oh, shit. I'm going to get what's coming to me. And he, like, runs for his life. And he's like, oh, my God, they're gonna pull me apart. They're going to kill me. And he runs into the gas chamber.
Oh, no.
He closes the door and says, I think I'm safe in here. And that's kind of how it ends.
Oh, God. Yeah, I like those types of stories.
Yeah. the next story, speaking of Jerry Conway, he writes it with art by Sid Shores. And it's adopted from an original story of Harlan Ellison. I like this one the least, but the concept of it was pretty cool. This was... a story of this guy that is just going to work, and he runs into, like, one of those wrecking balls that's demolishing a building.
Uh-huh.
Well, the wrecking ball falls on him, and then he finds himself, I think what it's saying is the guy is dead, you know, but when he's, like, going to heaven, he ends up in this, like, realm of purgatory where he wakes up as like this guy, like a barbarian guy.
Mm.
He looks kind of like Commandy, and he's on a ship, and he appears to be the commander of the ship. And there's this huge storm that's happening, and I guess he's got a bunch of prisoners underneath the ship that are rowing for him and stuff like that. Well, he makes it through the storm, but everybody that's working for him underneath dies. Everybody on the ship dies. And he doesn't really feel guilt. He doesn't know why he was put in this situation anyway. And then he gets on an island, finds this beautiful woman being taken by a monster that looks like the Heap, and he ends up killing that monster and rescuing the maiden. And then later on, this huge dragon just comes from the sky and kills him. And that's when they show his head is the only piece that's left from the ball landing on him. So I guess he died in purgatory and never went to heaven or hell. You know what I mean? He kind of it's kind of like that kind of story. But it was a good issue. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
That's cool. I like reading those every once in a while. I've always liked those anthology horror stories.
Yeah, you've talked about them a couple
Yeah,
times.
they're fun. I see that Nick asked us two more questions. Should we do those?
Yeah.
All right. What did he say? Let's see, where is it? Oh, our favorite Rick Buckler series.
I don't even know anything that comes to mind, to tell you the truth. I'm not like Nick. Nick could come up with these names and it's like he knows the creators, and I've always been the type of person to like not really pay attention. Because that's how I
He's
was
good.
introduced. That's how I introduced to comics, you know, like just a comic is a comic.
Rick, he wants to know about Rick Buckler, huh?
I know. I think he did some Silver Sable, and then I could take it from
I'm trying
there.
to do a search.
Oh, that's Stephen Butler. Let's see, artist.
Is it Rich?
Yeah.
Rich Buckler. Okay, because I was looking at this earlier. Now, assuming that this is the right guy,
They
because he's
have two
got
different spellings, so you don't know if you're gonna get. They have a
a.
Rich and a Rich. A
Yeah.
Richard.
A Richard and a Rich. And then there's a Richard F.
Could be all of them in the case of this.
Rich Junior, Rich Senior, there's a lot. So I don't know, but if this is hopefully this is correct, because I searched for the rich one and a bunch came up, but I'm not seeing that he did like huge like long runs of a lot of different stuff. It looks like he did a lot of stuff,
Oh,
but
he did All Star Squadron.
he did some All-Star start. But he
There you
what did
go.
he do? Like 6 issues or something like
Yeah.
that. So as I was scrolling down, I noticed that he did a lot of issues between 107 and 122 of Spectacular Spider-Man. And so if I had a pick, that would probably be my choice, because that gets into the death of Gene DeWolf, that whole four-parter he drew, and then he continued. He drew a few more after that. So I think if I had a just pick one, and again, I'm kind of like you, where there are some people that stand right out to me, but for the most part, I never can remember who did what. But I'm gonna say that his Spectacular Spider-Man run, between 107 and 122. That's gonna be my pick. And he did a couple of the annuals during that time frame too, so.
I'll say the Fantastic Four because I've just recently been into that.
And he did a good number of those. I was looking at that too. He did a lot of them. I just only happened to have read maybe three random issues during that time frame. So, I'm not as familiar with his work in that.
Nick is the kind of person that can remember who directed a movie, and I don't like that. I'm even worse with that. I could barely get the actors right. Like I could get like I know what films Keanu Reeves have been in and Harrison Ford, but if you throw like some obscure name, I won't know.
No, but it depends on the director too. Like I bet you you know what movies Quentin Tarantino directed.
I know all of Quentin Tarantino movies
because
I know.
He's just very unique.
Well, it's like being all in on some directors, like a Steven Spielberg, you know, or
yeah,
there's the George Lucas. Yeah, I know what it's the obscure stuff. Like, there's a lot of films that I enjoy. I can't name the director.
Right. Yeah, I'm the same way.
That's the way I feel about comics too. I don't, which is a bad thing, you know, because you got to pay tribute to who. You enjoy something to who you like, but it's just the way when you're a kid and you consume comics, you just consume the characters and stuff and the story.
Oh,
you didn't care who was doing it. And
no, I hardly
I never,
paid attention.
I guess you could say I never grew up, Nick. So I still treat it the same way as I did when I was five.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. Oh, you know what is so funny? I have to tell you this. I was listening to your Geek Brunch with Bill, the one that was like 5.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And you had said earlier, because I think it was right after your birthday, you had said earlier, like when you first started podcasting, and I don't know if it was with Derek Howard or for somebody else saying it, but somebody had said that they thought that you were much younger, that you might have been a teenager.
It was Derek.
Like
yeah.
Okay. So
I
listened
to
again. This is a 5 hour podcast. So I had listened to that in the car, like maybe the day before driving to work. So now it's the weekend, and I'm like, I have it on, and Stacy's going in and out of the room. She goes, "Who's that? Who's that guy talking?" I said, "That's Mike." I said, "That's Mike from from Colorado." She goes, "How old is he?" He's the one that just turned 50. She goes, "What?" I would have thought he was like much younger than us. I go, "Oh my God, he just told a story about that."
Yeah, that's crazy. Because that's how I met Derek. I used to
got
do
a young heart.
I used to do Mike M's weekly reads in a notepad. And I used to send him it, and he would read it. Not necessarily on his podcast, but he'd always like say, "Oh, you read this," or you know, like he'd comment. And that's when he said, "Well, why don't you just do your own podcast?" And so he's the one that kind of got me going. And he found out I was married, and he was like shocked. He says, "Did you get married like in junior high or what?"
Oh, that's pretty funny. But yeah, I just thought it was hilarious because it was literally like earlier in that podcast you said that, and then my wife says the exact same thing about that current podcast.
Like, oh, yeah, he's God, a kid. He's a kid.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Hey, we gotta
so
keep going.
Sorry, Nick, but I never grew up. The other one is, who's your best Universal movie monster? That's a tough one.
It's an easy one for me. Well, don't get me wrong. I love them, but I've got a special one in my heart.
Why don't you go first?
Can you take a guess?
Well, I know what mine is, and it's because I just think it's the best film of all of them.
I guess what you think mine is.
The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Correct. My favorite. Absolutely correct. I couldn't even tell you why.
He looks cool.
I don't think it's the best of the movies. And it's a good, 10, 15 years after all of the other movies?
Yeah.
Because that was a 50s movie. But I just love it. I absolutely love it. I love that the whole design of that creature. There was a issue of horror magazine, Horror Hound, I saw in previews a few months ago. And he was on the cover, and it was a whole big article about Creature from the Black Lagoon. So
yeah.
I bought that issue. just because it was on the cover.
Well, it's interesting because when I think Universal Horror, I think of the big three. I think of Bela Lugosi, Dracula. I think of Lon Chaney Jr. as the werewolf,
Yeah.
and
Bella.
Karloff as Frankenstein. Those
Oh, oh yeah.
to me are the big three. And
Right,
then
you're
you
right.
enter the second tier, which is like the Invisible Man,
The
the
mummy.
Creature from the Black Lagoon, and the Mummy. And for me, it's like a toss-up because Bela Lugosi is just spot-on creepy. Like he's just. But when I have to go with the heart and the complexity of the story, I just like Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster. That's my guy. But the big three are really like iconically the Creature from the Black Lagoon looks cool because when I was a kid, I saw it, the Creature from the Black Lagoon on horror theater. That's where I saw a lot of these, you know, it was like the Sunday afternoon sit down and watch a Universal horror movie or a Godzilla or a King Kong or something. You know, they would show like monster movies. And I saw the Creature from the Black Lagoon. I don't remember anything of it, but I was like, this creature looks cool. And I used to like to go to the library and check out like special effects, you know, Universal monster makeup books and all kinds of like, okay, this is the history of horror movies, like Universal Horror Monsters, and then I'd like read up about that, and I'd like, oh, wow, it got Bride of Frankenstein, and I'd like learn more about like all these different movies I didn't know about.
Bride of Frankenstein is a great movie too.
Yeah, I just I adore those, so I'm gonna go with Frankenstein, but Bela Lugosi's Dracula, I think is the I don't know that movie's so good.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think probably the best movie in terms of how like the like it just the quality of the movie itself, Frankenstein is probably right at the top. That's very, very well done.
This is such an interesting question because I have two like a couple different answers. But Frankenstein is terms of best, he's saying best movie monster. So yours is the Creature from the Black Lagoon. I say Frankenstein. I think the best movie, because I get it all, is Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Nice.
Because it is the best story. I get my comic guys, two favorite comedians, in a situation where they are fighting Frankenstein, Dracula, and werewolf.
Right.
And it's like sort of a story where Dracula is commanding Frankenstein's monster and they're doing evil things, and the werewolf is sort of the superhero of it, and he's like teaming up with Abbott Costello to take down Dracula.
Oh, interesting. I've never seen this.
Oh my God, it's a masterpiece. It is literally a masterpiece. You need to check it out.
All right.
Especially if you're a fan of them, because it's all the actors. Like
Yeah, that's fantastic.
it is all those actors that we just talked about in this movie, and it's just and the way they've always played off the werewolf is he's not a bad guy. He just turns
No.
into a monster. Do you know what
He's
I mean?
cursed. He's cursed.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's cursed. And
Absolutely.
Frankenstein's monster is only a monster physically. He's not
You're
a
right.
monster at heart. Whereas Dracula is sort of pretty damn evil.
Exactly. He
But
knows what he wants.
highly recommend Abbott Costello Meet Frankenstein. That's the best movie in my opinion, because you get it
right.
all. It's even a good intro movie to it because you get all of
I'm gonna have to check it out. I'm sure I can either stream it or find it very, very easily.
Well, I think I just bought a like Universal Movie Monsters. And I want to re-watch the Creature from the Black Lagoon because I don't remember anything.
Yeah, I've got that collection.
I just re-watched the Mummy one last Halloween. So now I think this Halloween I'll check out the Creature from the Black
Creature.
Lagoon.
Yeah.
And
I don't know.
Invisible
I
Man's
love it.
another one I want to queue up because it's been a long time.
Invisible Man is very good. And you know, the woman, the female lead in The Invisible Man is the same person as the old woman in the Titanic.
Oh, nice. That's
Yeah.
interesting. An
Huh?
interesting fact.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
From the beginning of her career to right at the end of her career.
So thank you, Nick. Those were really cool questions. I especially, my favorite is the Universal Monsters.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
I
Very
love
cool.
those characters. Those are good.
Yeah, did you used to have those action figures of them?
I didn't have an action figure. I had the Mego dolls.
Oh, see, I didn't have the Mego dolls. I had those little like Star Wars size action figures. They had
But
a collection, so like must have gotten the set because I
yeah,
remember all of them.
I'm a
It
little
was.
bit older, so
Yep.
when I was young, there was no action figures. There were G.I. Joe dolls, you know, the
Yeah.
dolls. There was a $6 million man doll, and then
Well,
there
how
was
old were
the
you?
Mego dolls. I know
You were
you. I
still,
only
well, you were
got
still
3
young for Star
years.
Wars characters. For Star Wars figures, right? You're like
Yeah, but
eight.
they came later to me. Like that was already when I was already, shoot, 9 or 10,
Yeah, probably.
nine. 'Cause I didn't like jump on the Star Wars figures until a year after they existed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I didn't even know what an action figure was because I was still into the dolls.
Yeah.
I had Big Jim's pack. I mean, the dolls were where it was at, and then the action figures came with Star Wars, and that's kind of the transition where
Oh, absolutely.
I switched.
Yeah,
But I didn't even know
hear
they
all about that in
existed. Yeah.
the Toys That Made Us episode.
Yeah,
We talk about that a lot.
I didn't even know they existed until I went to my friend's house, and he had these Star Wars figures, and I think he had a couple of ships, and I was like, "What are these?" Because I love the movie. I didn't know the toys existed.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was my thing, but you know, I think even those 3 years makes all the difference in the world. You know, because I was 5 when the first movie came out and like 11 when the last movie came out. So you're
Yeah.
like prime toy
It
age.
is so hard for me. Like I have to like show a little constraint because I have no room for toys, but when I see a Mego doll, God, there's just something like so retro about it that I want it. Like I recently bought like a bunch of Star Trek ones.
Oh, I saw
I
that.
bought a
Yeah.
Romulan, a Captain Kirk, and a Spock because the only doll I had as a kid was Scotty. He was the only one. So now I have. Oh, I bought Uhura too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But they
Nice.
have the monsters, so I already have Frankenstein. I have Bela Lugosi, and now they have at Target. They have a werewolf. So
You
it's
got to get that.
tempting because it's the Universal Monsters.
Yes, how can you not? You can't not get that one.
Yeah. So what else
You
you
know,
got?
I you know what, I'll cover my next one in a second. I just want to ask you a quick question. Did you end up picking up it was a graphic novel by George Takei called They Called Us Enemy.
I did not.
Oh my God, it is so good, Mike. It's
I
all
know what the
about
premise
his,
is. Yeah,
yeah, it's all, I mean, he was like 5 years old, 4 years, 4 or 5 years old when they had to pack up and go to the first internment camp. And they were there for like between one or the or another camps for like 4 or 5 years. It was a fascinating thing to read. I highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, that just happened to be the 1 month where I was like, I'm cutting back.
No, yeah, I mean, if
That
you have a
didn't last
chance
long.
to pick it up, no, I would definitely recommend. I mean, it's just fascinating, and it's something that you never, even today, you hear very little about, you know. But I
Yeah.
remember when I was in school, like I had no idea that that ever happened until I was probably in college. They didn't teach that in high school,
Yeah,
you
I
know.
learned about it like in high school, but it was because I went to some kind of museum that had it. Like
Yeah, but
in
was it in your
California or
history books?
something, yeah.
You know,
It wasn't really talked about too much.
It's a very embarrassing, shameful thing that, you know, happened.
Yep.
And not to in now we're, you know, get back into politics and stuff, but it's like when you don't teach this stuff, you just repeat it over and over again.
Well, even if you taught it, you still repeat it because
It's sad.
people don't learn from their mistakes.
No, they
Like,
don't.
all they see is color and nationality, and they don't see, hey, this person's an American. They don't see that they're actually some fighting for our country, and you just say, well, they grew up in the United States. They're not that, you know, they're fighting for us. What are you
Yeah.
doing? You know, you just, I don't know,
Oh my
people are
God, the stuff it,
strange.
like they were trying to get, because some of them wanted to in World War II, some of the Japanese Americans wanted to fight, and
Yeah.
they made them like do all these declarations and stuff, like basically like, you know, totally cutting off, you know, like made them basically say that, you know, to have to say that Japan was, that they were not loyal to Japan. Well, they didn't make anyone else do that. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? From like Germany or Italy or anything like that. They didn't do that. But for the Japanese, they had to do that. It's just not, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
It was just, anyhow, it was just interesting. But
War is ugly. You see some, you know, rinse and repeat with Vietnam too, you know. So
Yeah.
it's weird.
And it's
And war
like,
gets weirder too, that there's so much more shades of gray now. Like, well, even then, even in Vietnam, like when we were in Vietnam, you didn't know if the person you were protecting was going to turn around and put a bomb in your vehicle. You didn't, it's
Right.
not, you didn't know that.
No.
It, and just like Afghanistan, you know, like you could have a kid that you're, you know, kicking the ball with, and that kid is infiltrating your thing so he can kill you.
Exactly.
So when you're in those types of situations, man, that's gotta be scary, like totally scary to be a soldier.
Have you seen Good Morning Vietnam?
Yeah, I
I
did.
mean, amazing movie, very like so many funny parts, but it's kind of like what you just said. Like, remember he formed that friendship with that boy? And it's like you just and but there's no good or bad. It's like the boy wasn't evil. He just, it was such a messy, messy situation. Yeah.
I didn't even realize how tense I saw The Deer Hunter when I was really young,
I've
like,
never seen that one.
and I just rewatched it, and it's like a nail biter, man. I like a psychological, you know, they'd put the bullets in the gun and spin the gun and
That's
put
the
it to
only
their
thing I know
heads.
about the
But it's
movie.
intense, man.
Yeah.
Like, psychologically, the way they treated these prisoners was like, you they lost their sanity real quick.
Yeah.
Like, and then when they got out, they couldn't get back to where they were. Like, they were different men. Like,
Well, how
they,
could they? And
no, because,
there's no resources for them to even try to do that either.
right. I mean, I forgot that Christopher Walken was in it. Like,
Oh yeah, that's right.
he like loses his shit. I mean, Robert De Niro was the guy I remembered from it, but there's Christopher Walken too, and he's, oh, that's crazy. But yeah, what do you got next?
Okay. So I've got today, let's see, this one is Codename Danger, number one. From, let's see if I can find the indices. I had trouble finding it the other day. I don't know. Oh, here it is. From 1985 by Lodestone Publishing. This is a very small publisher. However, the plot is by some guy that Nick might know called Rich Buckler and Keith Giffen. Robert Lauren Fleming did the dialogue, and yeah, Rich Buckler did the pencils.
On number one.
On number one.
Well, number two is interesting because this is the shit, man.
I know.
This has Rick Buckler. This has Kyle Baker, Paul Smith, and Paul Galassi. Holy crap!
We went to Dave and Hannum's yesterday. The kids, or Stacy, took the kids to the mall right next door, and said we'll come pick you up in like 45 minutes or something. And I went through all the 50-cent boxes. I'm like, I'm going to look for some unusual, you know, some stuff that don't normally see. I'm like, well, I'll pick this up without knowing anything about it or even seeing the creative team. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God.
You know what my brain was going to when you said it? Was Codename Knockout, which was was the Vertigo series. So yes, when you were saying it, I was in picturing the cover of Codename Knockout.
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Yeah. Well, Robert Lauren Fleming, he did like that Aquaman blue suit one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mini.
Yeah, so this is good. I was very, very surprised by how much I enjoyed this. Basically, the premise is that there's this man, his name's Paul Makor, and he's got a female assistant, and it's clear that he used to be in the CIA, but somehow got kicked out for some reason that you don't know, and he takes... And people call and leave messages, and he takes different cases. So it turns out that he's got a couple options here. There's a H-bomb missing in Pakistan. The president in the Philippines has set up a death camp, and there's also a missing kid. And so the assistant figures that he's probably going to want to do the death camp. And he's like, we're going after the missing kid. And she can't believe it because it's just one kid. So anyhow, what he does is he's got this all these screens up of all these different potential agents, I guess you should say. And so he picks three people to join him to complete the mission. The first one is a ninja called Shadow Hand. The second one is a woman named La Femme, and she has the ability, she can adopt any ability at all for a short period of time. So if you want her to be a surgeon, you want her to be a sharpshooter, you want whatever, she can do she can learn it immediately and do it to the best of anyone's ability for a short period of time. She used to be a prostitute, and she derives her power from her sexuality. As long as she abstains from sex, she has these powers. And as soon as she has sex, then the powers go away until she abstains some more.
It's like the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza.
Yes. Right.
He becomes super powerful and smart.
I forgot about that. Oh my God.
And the opposite, Elaine got dumber.
Yeah, it got dumber. About that. And his final choice is a guy named High Tech, and he's got a weird power. He throws out his life force in any form, as a bullet, a missile, fireball, and so very an explosive type person. So he goes to the He goes to the person whose son is missing, and basically says that because we're friends and we have a history, he's like I'm only going to charge you $300,000. He's like, what, are you kidding me? And like, he calls him a heartless son of a bitch, and he's like, listen, you call me that again, the price is going to double. And he calls him that again. He's like, $600,000 now. So anyhow, he agrees to pay $600,000, and They infiltrate. Now this is they're set in New York, in again in the 80s. So, like, you know how Times Square used to look back then, and so they infiltrate adult video store on the premise that they had to fix one of the TVs, and they blow through that high tech guy blows through a door in the back, and they go up the stairs to madam that apparently has is deals in a lot of illegal activities and ended up kidnapping this boy for a person. And so they managed finally to get it out of her that it was for a guy, a German man that used to run a concentration camp in World War II. And they call his name's Wolfgang Rausch, and they call him Death's Head. So they make a plan. He's in Brazil. They make a plan to go the four of them to go up to Brazil, and they sneak in to sneak in indoors and two outside. The ninja and La Femme go out up through the side of the building. And so even now this Death's Head, this German Nazi, he has like some sort of a sense that there's something wrong. So he starts panicking before there's actually anything, any alarms going off. But before long, High Tech makes his presence known as he blows out a door, and he goes running into the bedroom where the young boy is, and all four of them encounter him in the bedroom, and he's got a gun to the boy's head. And so Paul Makors says to High Tech, he's like, "Listen, there's something I didn't tell you about this particular kidnapping. It's actually your little brother." So unbeknownst to us, he's actually related to this kid, and he ends up using the full force of his powers and makes the German's heart only pump blood into his heart, and nothing's being pumped out. So his heart, of course, explodes. But in using all of his powers, High Tech explodes as well. And at the end, Paul brings the young boy back to his father, and you learn that Paul is actually the godfather of the young boy, and still charged that guy $600,000 to get him back. But on the other hand, the man is also upset because, and he says, "You are heartless," because High Tech was obviously his son also, and he died in the mission. And Paul just says, "It's just business, you. We made a deal, and I delivered." And so this is the first of only four issues. I gotta tell you, I am definitely thinking of going back to that store and seeing. I think I might have saw one more issue there, and pick that other issue up, and then probably just and then get the rest like on mycomicshop.com.
I
Because
wish we had a store like that.
this was, th I can't
Like
believe it
a
was
store
the store was
though
that good.
that like has old comics for, that cheap.
Yeah.
'Cause we don't have that out here. Like
No,
I was
it's
hoping
great. It's the only one that has it.
in Denver we'd have something like that, and I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, and it's nice because I mean, what they have, I think they buy in volume, because they have like an ad on the back of the Overstreet Price Guide and stuff. I think that
Yeah.
they'll go, and if somebody's got a collection where there's enough good stuff for them to buy, and the people are like, "We want you to just take everything."
Yeah.
They'll just take it all and throw all that other stuff just in these long boxes
Yeah.
and sell 50 cents each, even though that they know, depending on the comic, because they thought of like 90s Batman there and Superman. I mean, they could probably sell them for $1 or a couple dollars or $3, but but it's just not worth their time to sort through all that stuff.
Right. They're looking for the first appearance of Ghost Rider or something.
Exactly.
Else. I could get that. I'll turn those around for expensive prices. But the books for like $5 or under, throw them in the 50-cent bin. I just want to sell through them. Because they didn't essentially pay for it.
Right.
They paid for the bigger books, and that's where they're making their profit. And this was just free. So 50 cents for free is better than nothing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they said. And like, you know, depending on what you're looking for, like, yeah, you might find a $5 book in there. But it's just not worth our time to go searching through all that stuff and pull it out and price it somewhere on the chance that somebody's going to come along and finally buy it for $5. We'll just
this sounds interesting, man.
It was good.
You sold me on the woman that can't have sex and she has these abilities. That's awesome.
It was cool. But I get the
it's
impression.
The Elaine
that,
Bettis
like,
of comics, man.
Yep. I get the impression that each issue will probably be him picking a new team.
Yeah.
For whatever is the next mission. So yeah. I'm guessing that she'll only be in this first one. But it was really interesting, and the writing was really just a lot better than I expected. And of course, the art was good too. Hang on one second, Mike.
Okay.
Yes, sir. A beetle? Can he maybe put him on a piece of paper towel?
And put him outside.
Yeah. And then put him outside. Yeah. You can show me. Yeah. They're going to come show me. Yeah.
It's
so this
a
was...
huge tarantula. And they'll put it right in your lap.
She's screaming. She's not a fan. yeah. So, I mean, it's only four issues and they're all cheap. So I'm definitely going to pick up the rest. I was just very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So mine is also from the last flea market. I like watching that show, by the way, Flea Market Flip. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm. I've seen those guys that go from place to place.
Yeah, I like that too. My dad got me into all these shows. My dad watches them, so he got me into country music. He got me into those things. And Flea Market Flip, though, is where they give, like, a couple, like it could be a man or woman or two men or two women or just a couple of people. They might be related. They might not be. They mm-hmm. might be best friends. But it's like a game show where here's $50, okay? And you got to go buy something from these flea market vendors, and they put them in there, and then they get to they build something from that. So they have like a theme, like the Renaissance theme or something like that. And they have to build like some Renaissance furniture based on what they buy from the flea market.
This sounds cool.
And then they go to the flea market and flip it. So they might take something, you know, like five different pieces and make one piece out of it. And
I didn't know that it was like a game show type thing.
Yeah, whoever wins some money, you know. Yeah,
that's cool.
It's pretty addictive, especially if you like to see like creativity and like what they can turn junk into.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat. But that has nothing to do with this comic.
You got it at the flea market.
I got it at the flea market. This is Archie 462. Let me see what year this is from. It's close to our 10-year limit. 1997.
Oh, okay, 12 years.
Yeah. And the other thing I liked about this guy that sold dollar books is the books are like right off the shelf near mint. Like
see, that's what makes a difference.
They were like legit. I mean, all these copies are just. It looks like I bought it off the shelf.
Wow.
And this Archie has four different stories. The script is by George Glader, and Stan Goldberg draws most everything. The first story is called Topsy Turvy, and it's just like Archie and Betty are entering in this surfboard competition against Reggie and another girl and a bunch of other people. And what there's – I don't even know if this exists. I've never seen it on TV or – heard about it, but it's like dual surfboard people that will they'll it's two people on a surfboard that do tricks on one surfboard.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but Archie's with Betty, and he's clumsy as all hell. Like he this isn't like the Archie from Riverdale. This guy's just a clumsy dude, but he
Well,
gets all
that's
the
how
women.
Archie always had been in
Yeah,
the
he's
comics.
clumsy and he gets
Yeah.
all the women.
You're right.
And Betty just adores him. I can't figure it out. Like, I can't, like, she just loves him more so than Veronica.
Yeah.
Like, Veronica, I think, likes him because she could, because it takes it, you know, him away from Betty. I don't know.
I
I
got a
don't know. I
question.
don't.
Here's an important question before you go any further. Are you a Betty or a Veronica?
I'm 100% on the Betty
Okay, me
because
too.
I would never date a Veronica. I
Me
mean,
neither.
if I was gonna get rich, maybe, but I don't know. I just don't see myself being compatible at all with somebody like where Betty is like so wholesome. She can fix cars. I mean, she can do stuff, and she proves it in this they're gonna lose this competition because Archie's just. He says like, I can't sustain your weight. What does he say? This is like, I can't remember. He says, I can't hold you up because you weigh too much or
For
something like,
Betty?
yeah.
Good thing you
Oh,
didn't
he
say that to
goes,
Veronica.
my arms and wrists aren't strong enough to lift you. And she keeps on saying, well, maybe if you practice gymnastics, that would help. He's like, there's just not enough time for that. And he's just being depressed. He's like, oh hell, we're gonna lose this competition because I can't lift you and do these tricks like Reggie can. And so the next day comes and they're really doing the competition. They were practicing the day before, and Betty is the one that lifts Archie, and they end up winning the competition. So he's doing the girl role, kind of, you know, all the and
Yeah.
she's doing all the heavy lifting, and they end up beating Reggie. And also winning it in Hawaii too. So this was like a tournament to get to the big tournament.
Tell Barb I said bless you.
Yeah, bless you. And I liked that they do fan art in this at this time period in Archie. You know, they'll have people draw pictures and then they print it.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. The second story is called Bushwhacky, and this one he's sort of dating Veronica, and Veronica says, you know, we're going to remove these old hedges and we're going to get new hedges, and then the gardener's going to come and carve them into animals or something like that for our yard. And Archie's like, "Well, you're not going to do anything with these hedges?" And he's like, "You know what I could do? I could carve like I love you in these hedges." If they're getting rid of them, and he's convinced that these are the hedges they're getting rid of. So he gets there, carves "I love you," and then calls Veronica and Mr. Lodge out. And Mr. Lodge is like, "You idiot! You carved the new hedges that I was supposed to get. You know." So he carved the wrong hedges. He's such a lummox. The other one is this is a kind of cool story. It's Archie. And we all have these dreams, like these cool dreams that you don't want to end, right? You have these cool dreams. Well, Jughead's having a dream about hamburgers, and Archie has this dream about this beautiful blonde girl, and he's like helping take a thorn out of her foot. And then the alarm goes off every morning. It's like dee dee dee, and he wakes up, and he's like, "Damn it! I didn't even get her name. I what the hell?" You know, he just takes the thorn out, and he's. And he keeps having these dreams like two nights in a row, and every night he's like, "Oh no, not again. I didn't get to finish the dream." And then the next day he runs into the same girl, so it's like deja vu. Like he really sees her, and she gets a thorn in her foot, a splinter, and he pulls the splinter out. And then he says, "Hey, I'm Archie Andrews. What's your name?" And then he's he There's something that goes off like a beeper, and it's beep, beep, beep. And he says she never gives her name because her watch goes beeping like the alarm, and she just goes, I gotta go. So it's like deja vu. It's in his dream, he had the same dream twice. The alarm went off and he didn't finish it, and then reality really comes and her alarm goes off and he never gets to meet her. So that was kind of a cool thing. And then the fourth story is they all go hiking, and he finds like this rare squirrel, or it's a chipmunk or something like that, and it's caught in a trap, and he has to rescue the chipmunk because it's like endangered. And there's two trappers that capture it, and it's a to be continued, so it didn't even finish. But I liked it. It was fun. Yeah. I love Archie.
Those are it's nice to read those. They're nice and light and just easy to read.
Well, I like the new stuff, but it's taking itself too seriously now, and it's refreshing to read the old stuff because
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just blatantly fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I got a couple more things, but you know what? I'm gonna switch gears for a second, and it just occurred to me to talk to you about it, because it is retro. It's a retro TV show and a retro game show. For whatever reason, Mike. Now, okay, so we're at my job at my work, when I have a lot of stuff to do, it's basically me just in front of the computer typing things out. But it's not like constant. I imagine. I don't know what's involved with your job, but I, like from what you've described, it sounds like it requires a lot of concentration. It doesn't. Mine is like kind of more routine, so it's not so.
You have to
I don't
use
have to
your brain a
concentrate so
lot,
much, I guess.
yeah.
Yeah. So I have. So basically, what I was doing is, but in the same token, I'm not going to put on like a movie or even a TV show that I have to like really pay attention to because I can't because I'm still working, you know? But so for whatever reason, I was looking around on Prime and trying to find something just very light that I can just throw on in the background and chuckle to myself, but while I'm still making sure that I'm doing my work correctly. So I started watching Match Game 75.
Well,
Have
that's
you ever
interesting
watched the Match
because
Game?
there's a new one out now.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a new Match Game show out now, right, Barb? Is there a new Match Game show where they do the cards? Isn't it called Match Game? Yeah. Yeah, no. That's something else. That's to complete the sentence or whatever.
Well,
Does Match
I've
Game
been watching.
involve the cards and you go higher or lower?
Well, that's Card Sharks.
Oh, no, that's Card Sharks. Never mind. I got confused. What's Match
Okay,
Game?
so Match Game was hosted by Gene Rayburn and had pa six panelists, celebrity panelists. Very, very often, you had a woman named Brett Summers, you had Charles Nelson Reilly, and Richard Dawson. They were pretty much on it all the time, and then the other three kind of rotated in and out. Like Bob Barker was on there. I can't even th Betty White was on there a bunch. There's a lot of different people from the 70s like that were popular at the time. So basically there's two contestants. They pick a card and like here's an example. So Elvis Presley said, "I hate playing for old people." Just last night, an 87-year-old woman threw her blank on the stage. So
Barb's
then
totally right. They're doing this. This is the
okay.
Alec Baldwin one.
So and then all the
Yeah.
panelists write their solution for the blank on there, and then they ask the contestant, and then their answer has to match the celebrity, and whoever has the most matches after two rounds, goes on for to win try to win more money. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, but it's like totally like that retro feel, and they're just constantly fooling around. You get the sense that these panelists may or may not be drunk sometimes. They definitely are just smoking at their desks there at on the stage. Like Richard Dawson just
Sometimes
sits in the
it's very
bottom of the middle and he's
sexual
just
too.
smoking.
They play with
And
like
they're supposed to
sexual
be too.
themes. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can only say so much in 1975.
Right
So
now
then you have
they
to
could
kind of
say a little
think your
more.
way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like back then you had to think your way around an answer to be able to say something and, you know, try to get matches. So it was just, I don't know what it is about it, but I'm like, it's driving Stacy crazy because now at night, like if we'll watch a show and then we're getting a little tired and I don't want to put on another full, like long episode of something,
Yeah.
I'll put on Match Game. And she's like, oh my God, a Match Game again.
Oh
But I'm just loving the Match Game 1975. So I just wanted to share that I've probably watched a good 20 or 30 episodes from the 1975 series over the past 2 weeks. And I've been enjoying it quite a bit.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so you've never seen these.
I've seen the new one.
Yeah, but you never
And
saw the
as a
old
kid, I
ones.
saw these. I mean,
Yeah.
I was a game show kid, so we watched Family Feud, and the Newlywed Game is the one I liked a lot.
Oh, the Newlywed
It
Game.
has the dating game and Hollywood Squares.
Where is the strangest place you've ever made whoopee?
Do I have to answer that, Rob?
No, you don't have to answer that. Did you ever watch the funniest game show moments, that special?
No.
Oh my God, I was dying because that was like, I don't know if you've heard about that particular, that was a real question on the Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
And it was like just like one of those urban legends
Yeah.
for years because they never aired the episode, but it really did exist. And they finally, because you know, they just this funniest game show moments just aired like 10 years ago. So, you know, now they can actually air it. But, you know, of course, you know what kind of answers they're looking for. And so it shows now like they're asking the wife after the man has the husband has the card and he's waiting and she's just giggling and giggling and the guy's like and the husband's like just tell him and she goes in the butt. So
In
they have
the
never
on the show,
on the show
they didn't
but they
edit
never
it.
aired that episode,
Oh, okay.
so they just showed it now. They showed that clip on the funniest
Well,
on the funniest moments.
that's weird too, because the thing that's dangerous about the Newlywed Game is you could get your answers wrong.
Yep.
And then you're like looking at each other and you're like, you suck.
Well, you would see that, right? Like sometimes like the wife would start hitting the husband with with her card or whatever
Yeah.
because he said something that wasn't right, or maybe that it wasn't with her or something. It's with his ex-girlfriend.
that was one of my favorites because it had those awkward moments and stuff.
That was a good one. That was a good one too. But I don't know what it is about the Match Game, but I've been infatuated with watching those
You should try
lately.
the new one
Yeah, I'm gonna. I didn't know that
because it's
existed. I'm
all
gonna
like
have to
new
take a look.
people and Alec Baldwin is the host.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
See how it
I don't know if it's
compares.
still airing because you know how the networks do a lot of different stuff in the summer, you know, now that there's you'll see Ninja Warrior and all these game shows pop up. My favorite new game show is the Ellen DeGeneres one. That one's fun.
What is that?
It is weird. It's like the weirdest show. It's like you have to answer these questions right, or they like drop you, or they'll like throw you off of something, or
Oh, really?
something will eat you. Like it's just you end up like going through these weird things, these obstacles and stuff. And
Interesting. I haven't even heard anything about this one.
the stress is like. I don't know how they get these people to do it because it seemed like I would love to see what's underneath the curtain, like when they drop these people, but it looks like a
Yeah.
free fall, and I'm like, well, what catches them, you know, because they're not on a harness or anything,
Right.
and what stops them from like landing on their ankle and just busting it? Because
Exactly.
it looks more like it's at least 12 feet. And that's a long drop. It might even be more, and the floor literally moves, like it, the floor just empties and you fall. You're like in a free fall if you don't get the question right. And they have like this crazy stuff, like you have to like it, they put you in these like you know, the sumo wrestler suits, and they're like you have to, I think it's more like based on like Japanese game shows, you know, and it
Oh
they
yeah, those
American,
crazy
yeah, they
things, yeah.
Amer, yeah, they do crazy shit like that.
Yes, they do.
And there's this one game where they actually pull the teeth, and like if you don't get the question right, you go into like this huge mouth and you pull out these teeth on this like dinosaur and stuff, and it'll like chew you up if the mouth will just shut if you pull the wrong tooth.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's
Oh,
pretty
that's
cool.
interesting.
I've been
Yeah.
watching a lot of game shows, it seems like. That one I that's the one I really enjoy though.
Yeah. That's interesting. Oh, that's cool. But so that's what I got for that. Do you have another one, or do you want me to cover my comic?
Yeah, you could cover your comic.
All right. So the other one that I wanted to talk about is I got yesterday too. It's the Comico version of Justice Machine number one from 1987. You familiar with the Justice Machine?
Well, that's where the elementals were launched.
Yes. So the creator and artist is Mike Gustavich, and Tony Isabella is the writer of issue number one. So what's going on here is they said this in the back, so I didn't read about it until it was over, but they're basically rebooting continuity from this issue. Well, actually, the Justice Machine featuring the Elementals that came out from Comico is the same. It was the first appearance of Justice Machine, but from the company. So they're saying, okay, that's what we're gonna consider as part of continuity and nothing that came before and through the other publishers, just to make it cleaner for people coming on board. So this starts right in the middle of some action where the team that consists of the leader is Challenger, his ex-wife is on the team named Diviner. There's Blazer, who has fire powers. She's a young woman. Demon is a guy that has like martial arts skills and he's quick. Talisman is dressed in a suit and he basically has like weird good luck. He kind of like Black Cat power set, like when she had got the powers from the Kingpin. So like things just seem to go his way and go against whoever's trying to attack him. And then there's Titan, who's he's larger than everyone else and has super strength. So it starts in the middle of the action where they're trying to get a hold of a villain named Maxinor and his son, who has like earthquake powers. And in between them are all sorts of robots that are under Maxinor's control. So it's pretty straightforward. They're just basically trying to hunt them down. It looks like they're in this Maxinor's high-tech headquarters, and they get separated from him due to his son creating like a bunch of rock and stuff during an earthquake in between them. But Blazer manages to melt through that, and when they encounter them again, there's a good, I don't know, a couple thousand, he says, of these robots that are between them. So they're fighting, and you see what's happening. Each member of the Justice Machine is holding their own. They kind of highlight each one in a separate panel and what's going on and how they're defeating them. How like Talisman, he just like ducks and the one robot bashes the other one. He's got that type of a power, whereas everyone else is actually on the offensive. So, except for the leader Challenger, who's kind of like disappeared, and all of a sudden he comes from behind in this huge giant robot that you control from the head. So he managed to sneak around, get control of them of like the lead huge robot, and they make quick work of the rest of the smaller robots. So they have Maxnor and his son cornered. They knock out the son, whose name is Youthquake, and it turns out that Maxnor has like a teleportation device, and he manages to vanish in thin air. So they go back to their citadel, and their boss is named Zarin. And if you're not familiar with Justice Machine, they're not on our Earth. They're on an Earth called Jorwell. It's like George Orwell. It's like a 1984 type world where it's like everything is very, very tightly controlled by the government. The
Animal
Justice Machine,
Farm.
the Justice Machine work for this oppressive government, even though they're the good guys. But this is their government. This is like all they know. This is how they live. Like everything is tightly controlled. There's, all of the information that citizens get are only exactly what the government wants them to hear, and it's all spun by the government and so on and so forth. So they go back there, and he says, we can still consider this a partial success. However, he didn't, he has a dimensional teleport. It wasn't just to a different location on their planet. It actually teleported to Earth. And, he says, we know that you're familiar with that world at this point because that's where the elementals had come from when they came during their four-issue crossover. And said, we need you guys to go there now and capture both of them or kill Maxnor if possible. And so they're given time off to say goodbye to their loved ones because they don't know how long they'll be gone. And so that takes up the next few pages. And then when they're ready to go, or just before they're ready to go, I should say, it has a scene back at the high command where their boss Zarin is talking to these shadowy figures that are supposedly, I guess, in charge of the world. And Zarin's basically saying, it's like since they like they had any contact with the elementals, Justice Machine has been showing signs of contamination. They're starting to be suspicious about their state, the state, and they're suspicious about what role they play. They're asking questions, and as you know, we don't allow anyone to be asking us questions about policy. So basically, their deal is that they've granted him permission to terminate the Justice Machine, but it must be handled delicately. So then Zarin meets up with the group. He doesn't let on that he has any of these types of plans, and he sends them off to Earth to take Maxinor. They're very accurate. They were able to find out exactly where he was, so they materialize right in the base that Maxinor is in. His son is still unconscious from being injured before, and is under like on some sort of machine that's trying to help him. So they start fighting Maxinor, and he's got control of all these different mechanical devices in this high tech location, and it manages to capture pretty much everyone except for Diviner, who ends up because she's got a sensory web, she can kind of sense when things are trying to get her, and she's able to sneak through and kind of kind of threaten the unconscious son. So he releases the rest of them, and Challenger says, okay, we've got him. Let me get in touch with Zarin. And instead, on the last page of the story, they hear an announcement from sounds like a broadcast from their state, saying that people were stunned to learn that the Justice Machine had been charged with treason, and aiding in helping the terrorist Maxinor, and unauthorized use of the teleportation device, and so on and so forth. So they're basically stuck now on Earth, and you don't know at this point, are they going to actually try to get... is Zarin actually going to try to send people to actually kill the Justice Machine, or is he just leaving them on the Earth, and then they don't have to worry about them? I'm not sure which way he's going, but I only bought issue number one. I saw a couple more issues there, but I only picked up the first one. But this was pretty interesting, too. I wasn't a big fan of, like, the alternate Earth type thing, so the fact that they're, like, kind of stuck on regular Earth is appealing to me, so I might try a couple more issues of that as well. But this was pretty interesting.
Wow, you went all indie.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an indie Sunday.
I wish I had a store like some of those ones out east. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do that.
It's nice because they have all these obscure companies.
I find gold in all those stuff. Like, stuff that's not worth a lot is sometimes worth a lot in story.
Mm-hmm. Right. And,
yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, they had a lot of Eclipse there. They had some other one. Like, you said, what did you say? Something Alliance? Was it Hero Alliance?
Hero Alliance. That's Innovation. That's really
good. Innovation. They had a bunch of Innovation comics there. So, I mean, they just had a lot of, like, obscure companies.
Yeah.
From the 80s. Just
next time you go, I should give you a want list of things I need.
Seriously, just let me know. Just send me something, because I might go back sooner than later, if for no other reason than to at least come through to find those one or two more issues of that Codename Danger. Because if I can get them for 50 cents, it's better than buying them in my comic shop for like $1.70 plus.
Yeah, you save. You're saving a buck or a little.
Oh, you know what else
dollar.
I bought, but I didn't cover. I managed to find issues 1 through 10, except for 7. They didn't have 7 anywhere, of the first volume of DN Agents.
And wow, Mark Evanier.
DN Agents. Yep.
Oh, those are good, like Crossfire and DN Agents.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
They were something that always looked interesting to me, but for whatever reason, I just never ended up buying.
Yeah.
But they had a ton of issues. I just bought 1 through 10. They didn't have 7, but they did have other issues. I don't think that they had every issue. It looks like the first volume goes up to 24, but they had quite a few.
Comics were told better in that time frame too. Like what I mean is, if you never read 7, you'd mm-hmm. be able to pick up 8 and kind of the gist of what happened prior.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you're an experienced comic reader, you would have said, "Oh, they kind of give you enough just to okay." And they do it within the story, so you read it in the context of it.
Yeah.
So,
but it's fun.
Yeah. My last one was kind of disappointing because I wanted I still might read it on my own, but it was one of my selections for the poll for DC Spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it had a chance of winning, so I just started reading it anyway. Because I could kind of guess what people are going to like. When me and Kyle did the next survey and he says, "Well, which one do you think is going to win?" I said Batman Beyond, just because people know Batman Beyond and they know
remind me of the choices, because I know I didn't vote for Batman and Beyond. I don't remember what the choices were, though.
There were Adventure Comics, like pre-New 52, kind of like with Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes.
Yep.
That was with Geoff Johns writing. The other one was Swamp Thing, the third series, which was the Brian K. Vaughan.
With the woman, with the girl?
Yeah, with Teffy.
Uh-huh.
And the Batman Beyond 1 through 6 and Manhunter.
Manhunter, that's right.
16 through 20, because I wanted to finish it. One of the things I wanted was I wanted Manhunter because I want to do Streets of Gotham, and Streets of Gotham has the backup Manhunter.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's like I don't want to, like, jump the gun if we haven't finished Manhunter.
Yeah. I
So,
voted for Manhunter just because I want to hear you guys talk about those because I love them so much now.
yeah, they're
But my
good.
other choice was Adventure Comics. That would have been my second choice.
Yeah. But I went ahead and read Swamp Thing, the Brian K. Vaughan.
Have you
It
read these
is
before?
no, I haven't.
Okay, I have this whole run.
I don't have this run. I have 90% of volume one. Well, no, I have 100% of volume one, which is not even like the Alan Moore stuff. That's the Len Wein, Bernie Wrightson stuff.
Right, yep.
That's 1970 Swamp Thing. And then you have the Swamp Thing, Saga of the Swamp Thing, which came around the time of the movie, just prior to the movie. And then Alan Moore started writing, which became Swamp Thing, which became the Vertigo title. I own 90% of that. And then this is volume three. And it ran 20 issues, and it features Roger Peterson art and Brian K. Vaughan. And it's like a shock to the system the way this book is introduced, because it doesn't even feel like a Swamp Thing story. You're kind of like in suburbia with a bunch of teenagers that are getting ready to go to college. It's their last year, and there's three friends. There's a guy and two girls, and they're kind of all best friends. And I could say they're kind of like outsiders, I guess, but they're good friends to each other, but they're not like real popular within their cliques or anything. And Teffy, you don't even know it's his daughter. She has black hair. She's got short black hair. You don't even know if it's her. But they grow up together and they go through all this thing. Oh, my parents don't let me do this. The guy's parents are getting divorced and he's crushed. And they kind of go through high school. And they're best friends. And then they go to prom and she goes with the guy because they're dating. And her best friend goes with another date. And they're kind of like at a dance, and they're like, I wonder where our dates are. So the one girl goes and starts looking for her date, and she goes outside. I think she goes outside to smoke a cigarette or something. And she goes outside, and she sees her best friend like making out with her boyfriend, and they're best friends. So it's like, if you were you and your best friend, and your best friend was sleeping with your wife, kind of thing, you know, like it's like, oh my God, you know what's happening? And that's when you learn that the girl with the black hair is Teffy, which usually has white hair and a black streak, and her parents are Abby and Alec, you know, the Swamp Thing, and she kills them. Like she uses her powers and she essentially murders them, and
Your parents?
No, murders the
Oh,
her best
the kid.
friends because
Gotcha.
they're cheating on them, and I don't know if she like intentionally, or it's almost like Abby and Alec were trying to hide their daughter's powers, and they thought they could suppress them, like she wouldn't remember. And then all of a sudden, this cheating incident, she remembered everything and her powers just went nuts and she killed him. And that's kind of how it ends. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I liked this. It was very different, but I did like the series.
Yeah. I didn't expect it. I didn't know. I didn't even know it was Teffy.
As you
Because
can tell, I don't remember anything about it.
she typically has the white hair,
Yep.
and just like her mom, you know. And it's like, what the hell? She doesn't even look the same. And somehow they like brainwashed her to try to have a normal life.
Yeah.
And then that all reverted when she saw this happen, and now she's a plant creature.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You know what is like I didn't realize that I was just looking while you were talking, and I didn't realize that Swamp Thing didn't actually change to Vertigo until like way, way late.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, like, I don't remember what issue I saw, but it was like issue 120 something, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep, it's good stuff.
Well, I miss the days where you could actually have a title like Swamp Thing and have it go for 171 issues.
Yeah.
Because that never will happen again.
No, I don't think so. We might have it a number go back. In other words, a relaunch, and then it's, retro numbering. Bang.
Yep.
But I don't think we'll ever see a title go that long.
No. No, you won't even have Batman go that long anymore, but, you know.
It's because without shenanigans, the industry would just go
exactly
down the toilet. Without speculation in the nobody wants to read anymore.
You know what I really was happy to see yesterday when I was looking through these 50-cent comic books?
What?
He came in with his dad and his younger brother.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the dad and younger brother went, but he walked around and he was looking at all the new comics and stuff. Then his dad came back, they were talking, and he bought some new comics. The kid was probably 12 years old. Oh, my God, bless that 12-year-old child.
Well, it's usually the parent passing it on. The thing is they have so much competition to compete with.
They do.
I mean, how do you compete? When we were kids, this was all we could get. Like, it was Saturday mornings and this. We couldn't go to the theater. We couldn't pull up an iPad and watch stuff.
No.
There was no such thing as demand.
You could watch your Saturday cartoons until they were over, and then they were over.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And then you couldn't record it. No. You had to set your clock. Make sure you got up on time.
Yeah. No, there's so much competition for I mean, even like I try to get Zach in, we'll go to the comic shop and I'm picking up my comics. And he'll ask, can I get one? I'm like, sure. So sometimes he'll buy one. Sometimes he'll find a little toy that he wants instead. But it's not, you can tell, like, it's not like he's interested to read one with me every once in a while, but it's not a passion like it was for me when I was already 6 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that, like, I wasn't sure a few years ago, like, well, who knows? Maybe he'll want it, maybe he won't. But he's six now. I mean, yeah, he might get interested in the next few years, but
now, seems I like think, his passion is Legos.
Yeah,
he likes building.
He likes building 3D things, which is great. And it's fine that he doesn't have that same passion for it. I think that because of how into it I am, and I have so many that it's kind of like that's like my thing. It's not his thing, you know.
Yep.
So.
I try to do that with my nieces and nephew, and
it's hard.
You can get their interest, but then they're back on the iPad. That's where they want. That's where they want to be.
Yeah, he'll like reading. Don't get me wrong. Like him or Allie will like sitting down and read something, whether it's a comic book or one of those golden books or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, after they read for a little bit, then they want to move on to something else, and that's either like you know, can we have some screen time? Or, you know, Zach wants to build or Allie wants to play with her dolls or what, which is, I mean, it's just not, you can tell it's not a passion for either one of them.
Yep. Yep. Oh, well. it's a different world. We'd be different people too if we grew in it, I think. And we could sit down and watch a 2 hours Avengers movie or spend $3 on a $5, five-minute comic book.
Yeah.
When you put it that
way, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense as to why anyone logically would spend the money that's asked of them for a five-minute comic book, except for that you have that passion from being a child.
What does make sense is the unlimited services, though, because they're so cheap. Yes,
absolutely.
And you could read thousands upon thousands of comic books.
Mm-hmm. Are you getting Disney Plus?
Probably, but I don't think I'm going to go on like day one.
Mm-hmm. We already pre-ordered. It only makes sense for us.
Well, can I ask you a question on that? I know we're going pretty long, but, is there an option, like if you're already a Hulu subscriber that you just increase your payment or?
I thought I heard that they're going to have some sort of combined amount for the two, but I didn't see anywhere yet on how to actually sign up for that.
Because Disney
I only
Plus,
saw articles about
I
it.
thought you were supposed to get Hulu, and I thought you were supposed to get ESPN Plus.
That's a package that's going to be a little bit more money.
Oh, okay, it's
You can
an
have
upgrade.
Disney Plus just by itself, or you can have that as a package with all three, and I think it might be $12.99.
Yeah.
Because what are you paying for Hulu? Like $6 or something?
We were still on the 99-cent plan.
Right, which is awesome. I
Yeah.
think the regular price is five, maybe $5.99.
But you see the thing, I mean, with the exception of Barb watching Handmaid's Tale, like she's in season two now. I watched the Elvira movie and the Runaways on there. But I haven't like I just don't have the time. Like
No.
that's the big problem is you don't have infinite time and there's so many choices. There's so many
Exactly.
choices. So you're like, what do I watch? And
I'm keeping a
I
list
started
on my phone
watching.
of all the streaming things that are coming out so I don't
Yeah.
miss them.
Well, right, we finished Gotham and it was amazing. I mean, the final season was like no man's land, but like an Elseworlds of it.
Oh, cool.
And the way they ended it was like, we're gonna skip. Okay, the penultimate episode, they kind of like ended it. And like, what are they gonna tell in the final? And then what they did is they skipped 10 years into the future. When he was Batman and Catwoman was really Catwoman, and you know, like Penguin and Riddler were really Penguin and Riddler.
Oh, that's cool.
It just like went crazy. It was awesome. And then I went directly into Pennyworth, which just sort of blew my mind. Like, it starts off really, really strong, and it gets a little bit slower, but it is so good. The world
Yeah.
that they created is amazing and sick and twisted. It's
Oh,
awesome.
that's good.
Yeah. So
Yeah, there's all so much. There's just
episode
so
five of
much.
Pennyworth, but I haven't even watched the Netflix Marvel series. Like I still gotta watch Jessica Jones season two, Daredevil three, and all the other ones. Like I haven't even
Me and you
watched
were,
them.
I think, unless you moved ahead at all, I think we're in the exact same spot. But did you watch Luke Cage?
No.
No. Okay. So I think that's where I am in terms of the order of how they came out. The
Yeah.
last thing I saw was Daredevil season two.
I saw Luke Cage episode one, and that's where I left off.
Haven't even watched the first.
So it's like all this material. I still have Cloak and Dagger season two to watch, and that was amazing season one. Runaways was blow away awesome. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I haven't.
Oh my God,
We ended
that
up
was.
dropping Hulu just because it was, $6 or whatever, and then everyone's getting it for $1 a month. I'm like, I'm not going to keep paying $6 for this.
Yeah, that's what that I think Martin or somebody stopped it and then redid it with the deal of a
Yeah,
dollar a
I
month.
didn't do it, and I didn't think about it in time, so I didn't get that. But the Disney Plus thing, like with me having the younger kids, they're gonna love all the like the movies and the cartoons and stuff. But then for me, all the Marvel stuff, the Star Wars stuff,
Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna be amazing. And there was a deal. I should have told you about this. Maybe you would have been interested. But if you got a 2-year subscription, you got a 3rd year for free.
Yeah.
And it basically breaks it down to $3.91 a month that way,
Oh,
over
wow.
36 months. Yeah. So for me, it makes perfect sense because even in 3 years, even if they drop a lot of, they won't, but let's say they dropped a lot of their original stuff and it just doesn't fly. Even with the kids, I mean, with
You
all the
got your
Disney stuff,
money's worth,
exactly, you're
yeah.
still going to have our money's worth. So it just makes sense for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's so much to watch. There's so many
There
new
is.
things. Like when we were, 10 years ago, you'd be lucky to see one show that
Yeah.
was soup comics related. Now everything is.
My God, it's overwhelming.
Yeah,
There's so
you can't
much.
even like turn the channel and see like a non-superhero related thing.
No, it's really.
Like even in the HBOs and stuff, you're like thumbing through it and it's like that came from a comic, that came from a
Yep.
comic, that came from a comic. It's
Right.
like,
Even stuff that's not obviously like superhero related and
yeah.
people that don't follow comics wouldn't know it came from a comic book. There's
Right.
so much. Whether like the iZombie and stuff like
Oh
that, you
yeah.
know? So.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
I want to retire now. There's too much to
Yeah,
do.
no kidding.
Yeah.
I'd keep myself very busy if I was retired.
All right. We are Geek Brunch Retrocast. Chris was off doing shenanigans. He just got back from vacation
That's right.
and he's probably recovering. You can reach Rob at Rob Krieger. Thanks, Nick, for the questions. Those are good
Thank
questions.
you, Nick.
I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. You can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and Facebook Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow the episode threads there. And I think that wraps this up.
I think so
Good
too. Thanks
talking to you.
for the chat. Yeah,
Yeah, it was
absolutely.
fun. I
Yeah,
still have four
miss.
episodes of stuff to release. I haven't gotten to.
Oh,
I have
to
another 4 hour Geek
you?
Brunch
Yeah, it's been a while since me and you were on together, so
Yeah.
I'm glad we're able to make it work today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, talk to you. And we could talk for a long time. It doesn't even
Yeah.
seem like it goes. Well, we go off on a lot of tangents, but I like that.
It's fine with
That's
me.
the part I like to talk.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like to just, as we think of things, just discuss.
God, these comics are awesome. I want more.
Well, maybe you can rectify that later today.
I got to read Primal the Jungle Queen. I finally got issues 3 and 4 after 2 years on
Oh,
Kickstarter.
really?
Yeah, I found the guy on Facebook and I sent him an IM. I said, you said this was coming out last year and I still haven't gotten it. And he says, problem solved, it's in the mail. And then I got it and he sent me 2 extra books
Oh, that's
of
fantastic.
stuff. I don't even know what it is, but I didn't support the Primal Comics number 5 because I hadn't gotten the 3 and 4 yet. So
Right.
now I have to track down number 5 because I do like my Jungle Comics.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's a that reminds me of what is it called? Is it remind me that Rex Dexter or something
Oh
Dexter.
yeah, the Rex Dexter, the space guy.
Yeah, what's the name of that site? Do you
Atomic
remember?
Pulp.
Okay, I'm writing that down because I can never remember. Because there's some stuff coming out next year that they were that
Yeah,
I
there are a
saw
bunch
earlier.
of what he's doing is there are a bunch of 100 like 80 page giants of pulp comics or pulp heroes. And he's doing them in Bronze Age style, which is pretty cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
There's
want to
gonna
get
be a
one of those.
Peepoy cover on one of them, so you know what I'm getting.
Oh yeah. I swear to God, one of these days, if I can't, if he ends up like he's never been to any con that I've ever been
Yeah.
to. So if he ends up not being, I might have to reach out to
Oh,
you and
you
can you
can reach
tell him.
out to me. I talk to him a lot. A matter of fact,
Yeah.
I was just chatting with him, and he was telling me, he is like, Mike, you're not going to Baltimore? Like he responded to my post on Facebook. So if you go look at it, I said, I'm not going to Baltimore. He says, what, you're not going to be there? He said, I had art Dick Tracy stuff for you, and I was like, oh man. And then, well, I have a big cost coming because my comic's being worked on.
Oh, yeah.
And man, the comics are expensive to make. And I have a really good deal on the artist, so I can't imagine if I didn't, because you can't really pay. It's like, there's no way I'm going to make a quarter of my money back after all said and done. It's just too damn
Right.
expensive.
Now you're gonna do the Kickstarter thing though, right, too?
I am, but that's just to recover some of the.
Yeah.
I'll be happy if the Kickstarter gives me my printing costs. That's how,
That's how much it is.
I'll consider myself successful if I can recoup the printing.
Well, you've got my support when it comes out.
Yeah. Well,
Sure,
thank you.
no
And I don't
problem.
want to gouge the Kickstarter either, 'cause it's
No, I heard
I
you
don't
say
I
that.
don't
That's the
I
right
don't
thing to
like to
do.
I don't like to do that. Like, I want to try to make it fair with shipping. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Well, you gotta give people
I
an
don't want you
incentive
to
for
spend
backing you.
$10
You
for a single
no.
issue. Like, that's a lot.
Right.
I could see like maybe $4.99, you know,
Yeah.
or $3.99 then plus shipping. And that's why I'm not going to recoup it. I could go higher, but it's just not within my I don't think it's fair.
Yeah, I understand that. And it does make it so much easier to back somebody when you know you're not going to be paying like four times as much for just one single issue that you would if you went to a comic book store.
And I don't want to spend a ton of time like marketing or doing like some of the stuff that people do
Yeah.
because I don't got time for that shit. I got a full-time job and I got other stuff to worry about.
Yeah.
So it's like I want it to keep it simple and I don't want to like put a threshold on there that's to try to earn my money back 'cause I'll never make it. Like I
Yeah.
could easily say, "Ooh, my threshold's $14,000 because that's how much it's
Right.
gonna cost me to make it, and
Right.
then I'll never hit it."
Yeah,
So, because who am I? You know, nobody's gonna say, "Oh yeah, let's make it." Like I'm not like a big name or anything. So it's I'd rather do something low so I can ensure success, and then go from there.
it makes sense.
Yeah. I want to go to the flea market again. I just want to shop for comics.
Well, Sunday's a great day for flea markets.
Yeah, I did all the yard work yesterday, so.
Oh, see, there you go.
The only thing is, it's back to work tomorrow. It's so
Oh,
hard. I'm not as relaxed on Sunday as I am on Saturday. Saturday, I have like this sigh of relief of freedom.
Oh, yeah.
And then the weight of the world starts hitting me on Sunday because it's like,
It's
oh, you prepare
exactly.
for the fire hose to open on Monday. And then I'm drowning and drowning, and then Friday, I'm spitting out water so I can enjoy Saturday.
Well, that's absolutely right, though. It's exactly how it is. And then just waiting for that Friday afternoon to come.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for everything, and I still got to get those Batman out to you, but I'm
Okay.
working on it today.
No
There,
problem.
one of the one, the one, the Batman figures that came out in the box for the third volume, his cape is a little weird. Like he's got like a flat center, but the cape is pointing downwards, so you're gonna have to like get a pair of pliers and bend it up.
Oh, okay.
But all of them were like that. There were three of them, and the cape is pointing down, so it can't like sit on a flat surface unless he's like hanging over the
Oh.
edge. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
I see what you mean, yeah.
Because it's like it's perpendicular, it's going down, so.
No, that's no problem. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All
Yeah,
right,
that was
sounds
awesome.
good. I'll talk
All
to you later.
right, get some comics.
All right, bye.